listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the express written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. From the brothers, from the sisters. I think I'm hearing from the brothers.
It is time for us to use our power.
Was shot and was killed tonight.
I will never say that progress is being made. The engine and pull it out this engine. The problem is healing the wound.
I'm hearing revolution.
Welcome. You know what? Welcome to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, huh? Yeah, I got to tell you, y'all, need to listen to our gut. We need to listen to no. And no, we need to face what is in front. Denial is not an option. Explanation is not an option. We need to absorb and embrace. And despite, and in some respects, it's challenging. Because of the way that the world that we live in operates, it's challenging because we are told every day by different and we have to resist that. We have to fight against that and absorb the reality of the world that we live in. It is unacceptable for a Democrat to be a warmonger. It's unacceptable. That is not something that is acceptable. Does America provide the opportunity for such an individual to exist? Of course. Give a promotion to a person like that? No, it should not. And the Klan keeps telling you, as a people, that something is good for you. Be, you know, just like the doctor hitting, it should be instinctive. Kick back. No. The answer is no. If the Klan is telling you something, the answer is no. I say this. On talk radio, on talk TV, rabid. That Hillary choosing, huh? As the former, her nascent campaign has hit an unexpected roadblock. Not to me. A lengthening list of top Hollywood celebrities have publicly criticized her ambitions, from George Clooney to Sharon Stone to Susan Sarandon. The Beverly Hills set has turned on Clinton. And they are not alone. What's the phrase? In a word, no, is what they are saying. And it's not just them. American liberals have begun to snipe at their former heroine. And I will admit, when Hillary Clinton first got into office with her husband, I was hopeful. I thought that she was what she said, and she acted like she, you know, I was there. I was there with Bill Clinton. Not anymore. When people show you who they are, believe them. You know, don't be making excuses for folks. Don't be keeping hope alive by lying to yourself. She's not what she said that she was. She is a pro-war. She spit in the face of the little pink ladies that came to talk to her, code pink ladies. We've had them on the show. She spit in their face. No. In a word, no. Celebrities have queued on her, said she had her doubts about Clinton's
doubts about
Kathleen Turner has a really, really deep about her. Stone said Clooney criticized the entire lacking against the Iraq war. The active of the Hollywood elite was forthright. I find Hillary Clinton to be a great disappointment. Tell it. She's lost her progressive following because of her caution and her centrist approach. Tell it. Many observers, some folks would say, so? Who needs the Hollywood elite, baby? You're going to say no to the Clooney? They have money. They have money. They are a base. Worrying the celebrities are not alone turning on Clinton. She is a new hate figure for other liberals. And this is dangerous, you think? Why are people turning against Clinton on the withdrawal of any American troops? Did she once said a spokeswoman for guess what? Code Pink. At one recent meeting in a New York university, about 30 protesters disrupted her speech. Now understand this. This is a demonstrator. This is both demonstrators protesting Hillary Clinton. Now here's what I want y'all to feel. Here's what I want y'all to feel. What is your major criticism of George W. Bush? How is it that how do you describe this administration? What is the most problematic part about it? It's the secrecy. It's the listening. Now Hillary Clinton is part of the DLC, the Democratic Leadership Committee. They are the right-wing arm of the Democratic Party. That's who she supports. That's who she is about. And so when constituents come to her like Code Pink ladies, like Hollywood, what does she do? And a boy, none of y'all. I ain't hearing none of my base. Now explain to me why we would want her in the White House. Mess. Are folks not listening to us? With their own agenda. 30 liberals disrupted Hillary Clinton's speech, wearing black t-shirts spelling out the message, "Troops out now." The demonstrators repeatedly interrupted Clinton. They turned her back on her in silent protest as she continued to speak. Asked to comment about how did she respond to the question from the press? Baby, talk to us about those protesters out there. What'd she say? Now you tell me. Did Hillary Clinton say this or did George Bush say this? Okay. So you're deaf and dumb. Cindy Sheehan has come out against Clinton. That Russell Feingold will be the challenger of Hillary Clinton. And he's sort of a liberal. Understand, listen to what Hillary has also done. Not only does she have a blind and stupid fixation on this Iraq war, kind of makes you wonder, let's go check her bank accounts too. Shoot. Not only has she continued to be hawkish on Iraq, she recently attacked she started to use religious words in her speech. And she started to bring Jesus into her speech. And here's the thing. What would Jesus say about your stance in Iraq? No. What would Jesus say about your pro-death penalty position? Let me ask you that one. You are a pro, huh? What would Jesus say about that? And here's the sick, twisted part about this. And this is part and parcel of why she should not be anything for all Democrats, for all liberals, for all progressives. She knows that she sat down with some of these DLC strategists, and they said, the more that the liberal wing attacks you, love you. Oh, deaf, dumb, and stupid. Four five four oh 400 is my phone number. 454 toll free long distance number. Hmm. Word on the street is that she has 37 full $100 million a month. What's 37 into 100 million? Can you do the math for me on that, Howard? On that, what is 37 into 100 million? It is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax, my toll free long distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And the rest of the day to you.
Thank you so much. It equals enough to almost clean up Katrina. You know, I used to like Hillary, but the closer I look at her, when I see people that bends over too much to get along with somebody, I don't call it diplomacy. Centralist. I like that, centralist. It's dangerous and not for my concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And watch people who define God for you.
Okay.
If there's something God wants you to know, he'll tell you.
Mm.
Ain't nobody gotta define God.
Mm.
What you define, you confine.
Mm.
You better find God for yourself. Quit listening to these people, deaf, dumb, and stupid.
There you go.
And we gotta keep on getting rid of this, what's this, number one drug addict? What's his name?
We gotta
get rid of that sickie.
All right, now.
Have a good one.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll free long distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. One Republican operative said that the fact that Hillary Clinton has $20 million for her Senate fight, the fact that she has hired a 37 member full time a month with such momentum and financial clout, experts believe the liberals will eventually get behind her. Who else will these people should anger at the Republicans to be far greater than any dissatisfaction with Hillary Clinton? Oh, I don't know. People express their dissatisfaction in lots of ways. One way is they stay at home. My phone number, get up. Get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Mac, good morning.
Views on going to Iraq. At the time, on this station, when first came out about go to Iraq, you and the black community how to stay out of Iraq. You flipped over to because I was in New York City. Whether they was a white Democrat or whether they was a white Republican, regardless to where they lived and what type of work they was doing, they all was running scared. And I think at that time, you could got any white Democrat or the Republican to vote for that war. What do you think about that?
I think that there is something to be said about fear. And there is something to be said about the cultural weight of fear. I think that all Americans were shaken by the attack on the towers. I think most of 90% of Americans were on the towers. It takes a strong type of person, a person who has been culturally shaken before, people that have been through bad things before, and people that have been on the receiving end of bad things from a government or a people of African descent. If they are honest and open with their emotions and honest and open about their history, culturally, we have been on the boot end of a society that has been governed by fear. We have been on the boot end of a government that react. Now, culturally, I think people of African descent, because of that, we know what happens when things, we know how people are treated, we know how laws are broken, we know how people suffer when a government operates out of fear. So, yes, there is a cultural resistance to people of African descent that are in tune with the history of the world and the history of this country to do things like that, to respond in such a way. 400 is my phone number, is my fax. And the government, or think they trust their government, or blindly trust their government, and you're not supposed to blindly trust anybody. Anybody. Any human being. 454-0400 is my phone number for my fax. I'm Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. We're taking a break. Stay with me.
Shall get them that's not shall lose. So, and it still is new. Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
Good morning to the hour of 6 o'clock, today of 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Northbound 55 from 141 to Lindbergh, no problems to report there. Northbound 270 at 44 is still flowing freely. Eastbound 70 from K to 370, look for no problems to report there. Westbound 270 at Riverview all the way into Old Halls. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, no problems to report. Westbound 64 at 57 on the right side. Traffic backs up through Bow Avenue on 64 and through the Exchange on Highway 70. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing. Look for normal traffic in northbound Route 3 at the 5570 split. Look for no problems to report there. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Illinois, there's a new game to play and more ways to win with four new pick-and-play games from the Illinois Lottery. See retailer for details. Have a ball. Play responsibly. Check out your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday for today. Partly sunny, breezy, with a high in the upper 70s this evening. Mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of showers, low around 60. For Wednesday, Monday, another chance for showers with a high in the mid-70s. And on Thursday, partly cloudy skies. With the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 53 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 54, both under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 9.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday. Caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Amnesty International is out with a new report that indicates deaths from taser weapons used by police agencies are on the rise. They're calling for an independent and rigorous inquiry into how they're being used. Instead of a weapon of last resort, it appears that it's now become a routine item to conduct daily business with. A review of taser deaths over the last 2 years indicates most of the dead were unarmed and not posing a threat at the time. More on this subject is coming up Thursday morning at 9 when Dahlia Hashad of Amnesty International joins Liz Brown on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Well, I got the heebie-jeebies and I didn't know what to do. I called my local doctor, he said, brand new show. 335-8080.
See Jim Stafford's brand new show. 335-8080.
Go see Jim Stafford. You'll feel better.
Yeah!
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls. At this time.
Hi, this is Jenny Peterson. I show up now and then. I hope you'll tune up too. Well, let
you see a word.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we at Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108. We ask to GNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time.
Join the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy, hosted by Zaki Baruti at our new hour at 9 p.m. every Thursday night. For insightful information and intelligent discussion of the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy. Remember, knowledge is power.
Tuesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call, we'll examine the controversy over the proposed changes in immigration. Our guests will be Flavia Jimenez, policy analyst with La Raza, and David Bacon, an independent reporter and photojournalist. One of the arguments against the guest worker program is that it gives corporations the right to exploit workers, but fails to guard September. Other issues for consideration is Brown.
Real life, on the cutting edge, it's the award-winning Wake Up
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU, revolution@lizbrown.com. Get to me. Aleem.
Yes, I would like to make a comment about this. Duke University rape case.
Okay.
We go all the way back in history. We look at Rosewood and Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we look at Brian in his situation. And still, this sister is gang raped by this lacrosse team. And it's like, nothing happens. But when a white woman accused some black men of rape. Communities are killed, such as Rosewood.
Let me ask you what you're saying. Maybe clear on what you're saying. Are you saying that the nothing that has happened is that cities have not been down? Is this something that you're talking about?
Well, what I'm saying is, they not taking this sister seriously.
Well, I disagree, Peter, that a crime has committed here. Has been committed here. A serious crime has been committed here. Rape has been committed here. Prosecutors rarely, if ever, come out that strong in the beginning of this.
But
that's
you know,
wait a minute. I'm not finished yet. Because you said that nothing is every single night on behalf of this young woman. The university has suspended a young man, a white lacrosse player who was, everybody says, was not there definitely for writing a awful email. Also, the lacrosse team's season has been canceled for the rest of the year. These people, there are amazing things that are happening as a result of this accusation of a gang rape. So to suggest that nothing is happening, unless your things that happened in Rosewood, where cities were burned to the ground, and you're talking about the same thing that's happened in Wall Street, where bombs dropped from the sky. No, that has not happened, but things are happening on this rape case. It's wrong to say that nothing is happening. It really is.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, then you know the DNA evidence that came back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And according to the DNA evidence, they did not connect none of those lacrosse.
And what did the prosecutor say?
Well, I guess he's going to continue to pursue.
No, he said, I don't need DNA to make this case.
Okay, but that's what I'm. What
so
I'm
that's
really
a wonderful.
Is,
so that's
I'm
a wonderful.
I'm saying is, I am for the prosecution of these young men.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. I want these young men to be prosecuted.
Absolutely.
But if we look at history. Based on the words of just a white woman accusing black men of rape, Scottsboro, Tulsa, Oklahoma, even on down to Emmett Till, you know,
you're saying that they wouldn't look for DNA. They wouldn't wait for a trial. They killed people instantly. That's what you're saying. Is that right?
You know, we are a peaceful, loving people, because if it was anybody that felt the way I mean, this country would be destroyed. If I had the power of the Creator, this country would be destroyed a long time ago. Thank you, my sister.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Oh, good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning. Good morning, Ray.
I heard you Friday night.
Oh, okay.
And, oh, you exude so much energy. I just loved it. And I always wanted to know how you were got what was on a WDNU.
Uh-huh.
And you told me how you did it. I said, well, I'm going to have to call and ask. And that was so, and I'm so glad your spiritual side, and you listen to your other side, and you're on, because if it was for you, Ms. Brown, I wouldn't have anyone to listen to, and you help me every day. And I can't get, I don't go out too much, and I listen to you every morning, and you just exude so much energy that you give, I obtain some of your energy to do some of the things that I need to do. So
thank
I
you.
Just really enjoyed it so very much. Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All
yep.
right. Yes,
uh-huh.
ma'am.
So I said, well, let me call her and tell her. And I thank you so much for what you have done and everything. I couldn't go to the voting place, but I did vote absentee ballot.
Yes, ma'am. I'm so proud.
And thank you, Ms. Jones and Mr. Downs.
That's a fact.
And I love you so much.
Love you, too.
And keep up the good work, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Yes.
I told you yesterday, I enjoyed the show Friday night, and every time I look at the American and see the angry voter, I just love it. That's what Buford said.
Mm-hmm.
But congratulations to you for all the hard work that you do. Nice to know about you and you to tell us a little bit about your family and your father. What a terrific person he is.
Yes, he is.
And to live by your spirit. A lot of times if I do what my first spirit or first mind is, a lot of people say,
mm-hmm.
it won't go wrong. A lot of people say, I wish I had listened to my first
mind. That's right. That's
right. That inner spirit. Follow your inner spirit. And I tell you, a lot of times if I want to get out of here by a certain time, I start after I turn on the radio after I get into the car. Otherwise, I can't leave until 10 o'clock.
And that's my favorite type of compliment. Thank you so much.
Enjoy.
All right. That's my favorite type of compliment. I couldn't get out of the car. I love that. This is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. I will be back after this break. Please stay with me.
To register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660 and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Taking over $400 million from the world community to help provide food for people in need across East Africa. Five countries there are suffering through one of the worst droughts on record, and at least 15 million people are being affected by starvation. People are dying from malnutrition and being in a weakened condition that leaves them vulnerable to simple medical problems. Thousands of animals have also died, which is leaving along with poor its production. The situation will become even more problematic in Somalia because that country has a large supply of weapons and a deepening food crisis is bound to lead to armed conflict. Rains have set in on some parts of the region, but this will not have any effect on crops that are needed now. In fact, the situation could be worsened by the rain, which is said to be making roadways impassable. And Dateline Tehran. There's a report that found an unmanned American spy plane on Sunday. The U.S. has been conducting such unmanned flights over Tehran for at least a year and a half, using radar, video, still photos, and radiation monitors to try and pick up any nuclear from Iraq, and was taking surveillance video around border areas. Iranian officials say they have confiscated information from the plane, including some of the video recordings that were made. More weekend reports had surfaced that the Bush administration continues to examine the use of military strikes against nuclear facilities in Iran. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Amnesty International is out with a new report that indicates deaths from taser weapons used by police agencies are on the rise. They're calling for an independent and rigorous inquiry into how they're being used. Instead of a weapon of last resort, it appears that it's now become a routine item to conduct daily business with. A review of taser deaths over the last 2 years indicates most of the dead were unarmed and not posing a threat at the time. More on this subject is coming up Thursday morning. International joins Liz Brown on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Wednesday night is West Wing night here on WGNU. From 8 to 10 p.m. every Wednesday, Herb Steck is your party line host at Radio Free St. Louis every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 here on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. Also online at www.wgnu.net. In one place on one day, you can improve your future. On Wednesday, April 19th from 11 to 7 at the Collinsville American Legion, learn about the hot jobs for tomorrow at Collinsville Employment Security Day. Learn about jumpstarting your career and finding affordable health care. Brought to you by the Illinois Department of Employment Security. Something for job hunters from WGNU.
This is Donna Gamash.
And this is Sabrina Underwood.
Join us for Women Inspiring Women every weekday afternoon at 1 o'clock on AM 920 WGNU. Every day, Sabrina and I will bring you amazing women who will motivate, inspire, educate, and entertain you.
Every Tuesday and Thursday, we'll share stories of women like you who had a professional or personal dream and dared to make it happen.
So join me, Donna Gamash,
and me, Sabrina Underwood,
for Women Inspiring Women, every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Looking for the perfect gift? How about a delicious alternative? Candy Bouquet.
This Easter, do something different. Let Candy Bouquet build a one-of-a-kind Easter basket just for you. Candy Bouquet uses only the finest gourmet candies and chocolates from around the world to create their arrangements. You remember it. Order yours today by calling 314-863-2263. That's 314-863-CANDY. Candy Bouquet, 620 North Tinker in the Orleans.
Tuesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call, we'll examine the controversy over the proposed changes in immigration. Our guests will be Flavia Jimenez, policy analyst with La Raza, and David Bacon, an independent reporter and photojournalist who specializes in labor issues. One of the arguments against the guest worker program is that it gives corporations the right to exploit workers, but fails to give laborers a chance to earn citizenship. And with regard to allowing terrorists into the country, how many of the hijackers on September 11th came from Mexico? These and other issues for consideration Tuesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Real life on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Every heart, there is a drum that beats steady and strong. It does not know defeat. I feel it proud and know the sound of truth.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I just wanted to let you know, in the next hour, we will be talking to Mike Hirsch of the After Downing Street program on the latest development about impeachment, the I word. And as you know, in the 9 o'clock hour, we will be talking about the immigration issue that's confronting our country. Also, in the 8 o'clock hour, we will be talking to our friends at Connect Care, and then we will be talking about the board meeting, the police board meeting on civilian review. We have a police department that is in contempt in place practices to allow our citizens opportunities to file complaints with the police. They're in contempt of that order, and now Francis Slay's genius. He says, let's let them be in charge of the civilian review as well. We need to talk about that, and we're going to be talking about that at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour this morning, because there is a board meeting tomorrow at 9 o'clock that everybody should, the joint should be packed, because an entity that is in contempt for not allowing citizens access to filing complaints with the police department should not be in charge of a civilian review board. They're in contempt already. So you don't want to miss that. That's in the 8 o'clock hour, the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Get to me. David, good morning.
Hey, morning, Liz. I heard you're going to have Dave Bacon on. He's a pretty bright guy, actually from out here in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm.
That is correct. Independent reporter, photojournalist, specializing in labor issues.
Yeah. good choice of 18 minutes ago, you were talking about kind of a post 9/11. The way I looked at it was sort of this psychological viewpoint of how people were taking it, and the activists that people jumped on, you know, full bore right away, and there's been a series of sets in, but in some ways people were very excited about getting involved in a project like this. You know, opposing Bush and coming up with creative ways of opposing him, but there was a there's sort of a psychological problem in that after a point, you know, when you look at Bush and the scenario that they've taken, this sort of a you know, let the nation be damned, full steam ahead, they have. Go out of their way to be anti-PC. They have actually been disrespectful to anybody, and you know, whether it's you know, the various races or religions or cultures or the Constitution. So they've taken it to the full extreme that that they don't really care what anybody thinks, and. As such, the psychological makeup of people who are trying to oppose Bush, you know, there is this point of sheer exhaustion where you simply have to get a break now and then. And then, of course, people encourage this next generation of activists or people who start to figure out what's going on to take a role in the whole thing. And there has been a sort of a B string and a C string of people who have come in to take you know, take part in opposing Bush and these neocon cretins.
But I just want to jump in for a second here, David, because I do appreciate that and I do see that. What I was talking to the caller about were cultural differences, and what I can say as a person of African descent, that culturally I understand what weariness is, but I also can't take a break from being a person of African descent. And that so and I think that you see that in the fact that fewer and fewer people of African descent are joining the military. They are not getting, they are not becoming, and often before other cultures do are ready to embrace this. This has been a 3-year battle, a 5-year battle, but a 3-year for this war. So, yeah, you know, I mean, I appreciate people coming to the table, but there are differences in our culture and how we see things.
Oh, I know. And as such, you know, it's here as dangerous excitement. And that's almost the antithesis of what you're talking about. You know, it's almost like a reason to get involved. It's some sort of an exciting project. And then people can, you know, whites can go back to their mundane lives. But, yeah, exactly, the various races and people who have been, you know, beaten down. I mean, my God, this whole idea of...
Beaten on.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the idea that, you know, Bush is almost eager to oppose Muslims in their entirety. I mean, this is so stupid as to, you know, to look at the idea that you would have a nation that makes up, what, 6 or 8% of the world's population.
That's
so stupid.
It's stupid, and it's like, I've got the biggest gun. I don't care if I'm the littlest guy out here. I've got the biggest gun. What happens when you drop your gun?
Right.
And I got a roll, David.
Hey, well, no trouble. I mean, just one last quick thing with the play miting. Don't forget that Bush didn't just outplay him; he outed the whole company, the CIA front company, and there were 70 different employees.
Fact. Yeah. Thank you, David. That's a good point. Okay, you too, Jerry. I'm so sorry. Jerry.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to tell you, Liz, about an incident that happened to me on the train, National Link, from the airport Saturday afternoon.
Okay, quickly, please.
Okay. I got on the train, and I walked with a crutch, and these people had all these big old bags out in the aisle. I asked them to move the bags so I can get through. These white people, you know, they told me to go back outside the train and walk around. They weren't going to move their bags.
What happened?
I walked past their bags, pushed their bags out the way. I told the train driver. She hesitated, and then she got up and smiled and grinned and said to the people, "Now move your bags for them. Put the bags with a black shelf." She turned her head back and wouldn't say a word. Told the lady off and said, "You don't dare come here and tell me what to do."
Thanks for your call, Jerry. Wake Up Call. We'll be back with a discussion about the continuing efforts to impeach Boy George. Stay with us.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. As far as they're concerned, the case is closed. That's what attorneys are saying. They claim that DNA swabs taken from the men don't match the evidence that was collected from an exotic dancer who says she was raped. Ready to quit.
We do not know what evidence the prosecution has besides the word. Prosecutors were bringing rape cases long before there were DNA tests. You do have the word of the accuser. You perhaps have evidence from neighbors. You have evidence from the crime scene. We simply do not know what else the prosecutor may have at his disposal.
ABC's John Berman in Durham, North Carolina. It's the lottery a day after over 100 immigration rallies, one of them in the nation's capital. ABC's Steve Portnoy was there.
While most of the marchers were Hispanic immigrants, one man said he came down from Baltimore to show his support.
These people are human and with the rights that are internal.
In Spanish, speakers chanted, "The people united will never be defeated. And aquí estamos y no nos vamos." We are here and we're not going away. Organizers say the crowd easily exceeded their expectations. This will be considered one of the largest marches in Washington history. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News on the National Mall.
How much of this should the jury in the trial of Zacharias Moussa we have to hear?
There's no one here yet, and the floor is completely engulfed. We're on the floor, and we can't breathe. And it's very,
that's
very,
a call to
very
a 911 operator from the World Trade Center. The day of the September 11th attacks, the jury's also heard from relatives. Well, now the judge, not necessarily when we do. ABC's Steve Taylor has more on a new study.
A survey of 2,200 American adults found most of them believe obesity is a serious national health problem and that personal behavior is the main cause, not inherited tendencies or marketing by food producers. 90% of those surveyed said most of their fellow Americans are overweight. However, when asked if most of the people they know weigh too much, only 70% said yes. And when asked if they themselves are overweight, only 39% would say yes. Steve Taylor, ABC News.
Consumer Reports says more of us are discovering the joys of outlet shopping. Over 3/4 of respondents to a new survey say the quality is as good as the stuff that you're going to find in retail stores. So if you're going, here are a couple of hints. Go early, go off. The magazine says dinner time. I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
St. Louis, this is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, the new Busch Stadium opened and nearly 42,000 fans inside and thousands more outside yesterday as Cardinals Nation enjoyed the Redbirds' new home along with the win over Milwaukee. Among those taking in the view of downtown from the seats was St. Louis Sports Commission President Frank Viverito.
The arch and the old courthouse, I mean, we could rediscover the old courthouse because of how wonderful it looks from Busch Stadium.
The Cardinals are off today and resume their series with the Brewers tomorrow. St. Louis police are looking for two suspects in the fatal shooting of a teenager on the city's south side. According to a witness, someone in a car fired four shots at 17-year-old Bobby Smith at Pestalozzi in Minnesota Sunday evening. Police say Smith had been involved in an argument with a 12-year-old girl, and the girl's mother chased a large group of teens from the area with a handgun. The mother was arrested for flourishing the gun, but is not charged in Smith's murder. The suspects in the killing are only described as two black males and a red Pontiac Trans Am. The new elected officials in Sunset Hills will apparently not take the oath of office today after all. Last week, Sunset Hills voters, angry over a controversial development effort, ousted the entire Board of Aldermen and Mayor Jim Hobbs. But according to the city's official website, the Board of Aldermen meeting that had been set for tonight has been pushed back to April 25th because of a need to verify election results. Finally this hour, the impact of St. Louis's light rail system is the focus of a conference that continues today. Larry Salcy, the president and CEO of Metro, says Metro has been a success story. Despite that, Salcy says the Joint International Light Rail Conference has also educated Metro about possible changes that should be made in the future. The event will also include technical sessions on the design, management, and operations of light rail systems. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Did you know that thousands of termites could be attacking your home and you don't even see them until the damage is done? The Orkin Man knows. Call 1-800-ORKIN-MAN and get your free inspection today. That's your... I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Midas. Trust the Midas touch. Westbound 5570 64, that accident's been cleared, but traffic still jams at Route 203. Northbound 55 from Union to Bayless, look for slow traffic there. Northbound 270 from Sappington all the way into Big Bend, slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor all the way in Mason Road, look for stop and go traffic. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road all the way into 79, look for heavy volume going on there as well. Eastbound 44 from Anti, eastbound 370 at Elm, look for slow traffic due as crews are picking up the road work, getting ready for the morning rush. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing, expect normal traffic. Westbound 64 between Bow Avenue and 5570, stop and go due to an earlier accident near the merge. Antire at Antire Valley, look for an injury accident. Tesson Ferry at Butler Hill, there's an accident there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Midas. Trust the Midas touch. What's the most important safety feature of your car? Midas believes it's the person who does your brakes. Don't trust your brakes to just anyone. Trust America's leader in brakes. Trust the Midas touch. And you forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly sunny, breezy, high in the upper 70s today. Mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of showers with a low around 60 this evening. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon. Chance for showers with a high in the mid-70s. And then on Thursday, partly cloudy skies, a high near 80. 20 WGNU, we have partly cloudy skies and 53 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting partly cloudy skies and 55. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Examine the controversy over the proposed changes in immigration. Our guests will be Flavia Jimenez, policy analyst with La Raza, and David Bacon, an independent reporter and photojournalist who specializes in labor issues. One of the arguments against the guest worker program is that it gives corporations the right to exploit workers, but fails to give laborers a chance to earn citizenship. And with regard to allowing terrorists into the country, how many of the hijackers on September 11th came from Mexico? These and other issues for consideration Tuesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother,
was shot and was killed tonight. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Please don't forget that we can, you can get to the net at WGNU.net because we are streamed. Also, the show is archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. WhiteRoseSociety.org. Get up, get up, get up. Get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the local number. Get up, get up, get to me. He lied. We died. Impeach him. Randolph, Vermont. Democratic Party leaders in Vermont passed a motion asking for Congress to immediately begin impeachment proceedings against George W. Bush in an elementary school strewn with American and flags and copies of the United States Constitution. Some 100 state party officials agreed to make the request of representatives. He lied. We don't talk about that. Are there impeachable offenses? Let's talk about that then to facilitate the term editor from afterdowningstreet.org. Joining us from Washington, D.C., Mike Hirsch. Mike, good morning.
Doing well. How about you?
I'm outstanding.
Well, that sounds like a plan to me.
What are the grounds for impeachment? What has to happen for a president of the United States?
Well, basically the constitutional stand from the Republican Perform Crime Committee be pretty low standard. There's no question that this is the most impeachable president, vice president, no less than Lord John Dean, who knows a thing or two about presidential, and he just listed a whole bunch of things under oath when he was talking to the Senate about all the American citizens and eavesdropping, domestic spying, however they want to describe it, violation of the FISA law. like a law is he can go to Congress and ask them to change it. The president under our system is not
under any circumstances.
There are emergency powers which have been used from time to time, but there's no instance like that for the FISA law. I mean, under the FISA law, it's okay for the president to order wiretaps and then go back to the warrant or try to get the warrant. The Bush administration didn't even bother to do that.
So let's walk through specifically the issues that are impeachable and why they are impeachable. Okay? Let's start with the war in Iraq. Impeachable offense.
That one is hard to say because the Congress did step in it. They did give Bush to use force. Now, where it gets sticky for Bush and Cheney is that they may have obtained that authority under false pretenses by knowingly making materially false statements to the Congress in terms of the capacity and the ability of Iraq to threaten us. So if it can be shown that they misled Congress, that is a violation of law. That's a felony right there.
Therefore impeachable.
Therefore impeachable.
So the lie part of it.
Exactly.
Okay, detentions at home, detentions abroad, impeachable offenses?
That could be as well, because under our Constitution, under our system, all the treaties that we've entered into are binding. That's binding under all Americans, under international law and under our domestic law. And if they violated treaties, and it seemed like Gonzalez was working really, really hard to figure out loopholes in the Geneva Conventions, if they violated those laws, then it's impeachable.
The torture scandal. Impeachable?
Exactly the same thing. We are honor-bound and legally bound to uphold these international norms that we've asked. The president does not have the right to choose which laws he wants to follow and which ones he doesn't.
How do we distinguish for the third with Bill Clinton and what is not occurring with George W. Bush?
Well,
the impeachment issue.
The clearest and most definitive difference now is that Bill Clinton had a hostile Republican Congress hamstring his efforts. And it had nothing to do with law. It had everything to do with partisan politics.
But he also had a prosecutor that was willing to go the distance as well.
Well, there was a special counsel that was appointed under a law which has since lapsed, who had just incredible powers and authority to investigate all different things. And actually, with Ken Starr, he was, I think, the third person in that position. He was at least the second. And the first one found there was no basis to continue. Ken Starr found there was no basis to continue. But what Hillary called the vast right-wing conspiracy, but which was probably more accurately a small right-wing cabal, led by Richard Mellon Scaife, told Ken Starr, you keep working at that. You find something that we can throw at Bill Clinton about. So, yes, that's a very good point that you made. There was a person who was appointed whose only job was to find dirt on Bill Clinton. And even when he came up empty, they told him, go back and keep digging.
Now, do we need a radical Democratic Congress and a Democrat counterpart to Ken Starr in order to success George W. Bush? Do we need?
I just think what we need is a media that takes its job seriously, a mainstream media that's willing to ask some hard questions and not accept lies for answers or double talk for answers. And we also need some Republicans to stand up and say they want to be a party that's loyal to the United States, that doesn't put its partisanship above the national interest.
Can we contrast what happened in the investigation of Richard Nixon and the partisanship at that time? Is there a different atmosphere? Was there a different atmosphere?
Yeah, because what ended up happening with Nixon is
right.
What happened was some of the elder statesmen in his own party approached him and said, Mr. President, you have to go. Barry Goldwater and some others, just this is going. You know, you're going to take down the party with you. You might take down the country with you. And Nixon, the difference is now the Republican Party tends to rally around Bush. And whenever anything happens to him, they, instead of facing him, what's going on is not good for the country, and it's not good for Republicans or Democrats or independents or anyone. They just rally around him and attack Democrats.
Well, Mike, you said that one prosecution of impeachment against George W. Bush is an aggressive press, an interested press. If we have to hang our hat on that, I despair for the can we have something else besides relying upon the press?
Well, what people don't seem to remember is that even during the Watergate days, the New York Ticket to Press. Even the this crazy, you know, liberal, radical newspaper, they were very reluctant to go with these stories until they found confirmation from the number two guy in the FBI.
Mm.
So less corrupt now than it was then, beaten and intimidated a lot by the politicians. And then some of them found the wherewithal and the courage to do the right thing. I am hopeful. Another thing, we've got 24-hour news. We've got some people who just might be so fed up that they're willing to take a hit in their career as journalists to become American heroes and maybe be able to write books about it and maybe have shows of their own if somebody has the courage to actually stand up for what, you know, them, as opposed to what we see so often.
Well, what does it take from Congress? What kind of intestinal fortitude does it take from Congress, and what kind of actions will it take from Congress to make this have to take over the majority in the House and the majority in the Senate for this to happen?
I would say that the best bet would be to vote for Democrats, because even though a lot of Democrats haven't done enough to stand up to Bush, at least they haven't been helping him conspire against the Republic and undermine the Constitution the way the Republicans have.
So what has to be filed in Congress in order for this to happen? And do we have to wait for a majority in the House or the Senate for that to happen?
Well, all it takes, as far as the procedure is concerned, is a filing of articles of impeachment, which can then be investigated, and then they vote whether to adopt them or not. And the impeachment itself is an indictment. And the indictment then goes to the Senate, where the Senate votes by a two-thirds majority to convict, or if they don't get that two-thirds, then they don't indict and the person stays in office. So it's the same thing that happened with Clinton is the House did vote to impeach, which is the indictment. It went to the Senate, and they failed to get the two-thirds necessary to kick Clinton out. But at the same time, they felt, the best you can say about the Republicans is they felt that Clinton was bad for the country and had lied, so they had to impeach him. A lot of the same people are opposing even censuring Bush for doing far worse, lying about far more important things. And doing.
I guess my concern is, concern is that the Democrats have not exhibited any kind of will. You see people like Hillary Clinton being hawkish as some of the rabbit, and we any of the Democrats rallying around the little teeny tiny slap on the wrist censure that was introduced by Russ Feingold, and no Democrat has introduced it despite the Iraq war, despite the detentions, despite this torture scandal, despite the spying on us. what's going to change that political will?
Well, some Democrats are already pushing for investigations, which could likely lead to impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
He has gotten a few dozen Democrats to line up behind him. The Democrats don't want to distract away from the horrible job that Bush is doing and the crimes that a lot of us believe impeachment now. Now, I think that impeachment gives people something to think about. It kind of ties everything together. But some Democrats are a little wary of that, and they're, I think, a little bit too cautious. They don't want to jeopardize what they see as a good thing going.
But it's a good thing going. They're all self-inflicted wounds that Democrats have been on them.
That's, well, for the most part, that's true. There are very few exceptions of Democrats who have been going after him, but a lot have been. A maxim that says if your enemy is busy destroying himself, the best thing to do is stay out of the way and let him finish the job.
Yeah, but that didn't slow the roll of the Republicans after Bill Clinton did do what he did with Monica Lewinsky.
Exactly. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, there's being too cautious, mm-hmm. and I think that most Democrats are being too cautious. I think if they say things like, well, if we do get the majority back, one of the things that we're going to do is go and investigate some of this wrongdoing, because that's our role under the Constitution, and I believe in upholding the Constitution.
But shouldn't they stuff a little stronger than that, Mike? When we get in control, impeachable, and we are definitely going to investigate these. They're not even talking smack.
Exactly. And I think what's interesting is that the Republicans are going around saying if the Democrats get the Congress back, they're going to impeach Bush. So I wrote an article about 2 weeks ago where I said to the, basically an open witness is, you know, don't fool yourself. Don't think that you can tiptoe around this. The Republicans and the media are already talking about it. So you might as well talk about it on your terms rather than try to go into denial and say, oh, no, we don't want to talk about this impeachment. Oh, you know, we have no intentions like that. Just be who you are. Be an opposition party and make the best of this impeachment issue, because it is out there.
And the other piece of it is that what worries me, assessing their behavior in the past, is that if the Republicans win, when the Republicans get out here and start talking, if the Democrats get in control, they're going to do the impeachment. Mm-hmm. These lily-livered Democrats are going to say, okay, we're going to prove that they're wrong. So we're not going to go after impeachment because we don't want.
Yeah, well, to me, I think that a lot of people who are in a very good job, I call them the second place club. They tend to give advice about how to lose close elections as opposed to actually winning. And part of that,
how to lose closely.
Yeah, I think it's part of just this mindset where people can maintain their own jobs by giving this advice that almost works, as opposed to being bold and risk, you know, losing big, but you have a chance to win. And I think that one of the problems with the Democratic Party right now is that the average voter who's not really, slavishly following all the issues and doesn't really understand necessarily everything that's going on, looks at the Democrats and
this. There you go.
And in a dangerous world, people are more inclined to follow somebody who's sure that the person knows what they're talking about.
And even if they're wrong sometimes. Because,
yep.
Sometimes you just want somebody to go out there and just hit somebody.
Exactly. And the choice that the Democrats have is not to hit nobody.
Right.
But it's to hit the right person and point out where we should really focus our anger and focus our attention and our energy. I don't see Democrats talking too much about how Bush promised to bring bin Laden back dead or alive. But doing so well. Democrats seem to be afraid to criticize that. Democrats seem to be afraid to be anything but afraid. And what I titled my article, There's Nothing to Fear from the I Word, but Fear Itself, And that's true about a lot of the things. Like Franklin Roosevelt was very successful as a leader because he told people, I'm going to confront our fears and we're going to face our fears together and we're going to overcome these fears.
And we have to take a break. And when we come back, like Vermont passing motions to begin impeachment proceedings, because Vermont is not alone. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'm talking to Mike Hirsch. He's the interim joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about the I word. Yeah, impeachment. Stay with me.
Tales already been told, hearts already been broke, wounds already been healed. Do you wanna be loved? Do you wanna be loved for real? Do you wanna be loved?
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. By Works Home Show Special. Northbound 55 at Union and Bayless. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at 44 and all the way back to 55. Look for very heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor and Mason Road is stop and go this hour. Eastbound 44 from Bowles all the way into Merrimack River Bridge. Look for some congestion going on there. Westbound 270 from West Florissant all the way to 170. Look for slow traffic in the right lane. Westbound 5570 from Illinois 203 onto the PSB. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to an earlier accident. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing. You can expect some slight delays there. Northbound Route 3 from Monsanto on the approaches of the Poplar Street Bridge. It is slow this hour. Westbound 64 from 5570 all the way back through Bowell. Look for slow traffic there. Northbound Tesson Ferry at Butler Hill, there's a report of an accident, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Granite Works Home Show Special. Granite Works is having a huge spring special, some of the most unique granite you'll ever see, starting at $38 a square foot. Mention the spring sale and get $100 off. Call 862-6300. That's 314-862-6300. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly sunny with a high in the upper 70s today, mostly cloudy. A 40% chance of showers tonight, low around 60. For Wednesday, mostly clean by the afternoon. Chance of showers with a high in the mid-70s. And then on Thursday, partly cloudy with a high near 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 54 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 55. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news traffic and weather. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday 5-4-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care packet. The third caller at 4-5-4-6660 gets registered. Call now. Amnesty Internet Rise. A review of at the time. Monday morning at 9 when Dahlia Hashad of Amnesty International joins Liz Brown on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
It's tax time. Where are you going to go to get them done? Only one place. Richard Smith's Tax Service 367-1282. Why? Because he's honest. Because they're dependable. Because they're respectful. And because they have a check cashing place right there. You can cash your check right there at 1408 North Kings Highway, Suite 113A. He's been there before the other guys got here, and he'll be here after they leave. Richard Smith's Tax Service, 367-1282.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi. Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning, dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999. Watching everything the engineer would move.
ConnectCare, still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we take our commitment seriously. Our connection to the community is not just providing superior specialty care. Our connection is not just providing world-class urgent care at our Smiley Urgent Care Center. Keeping our connection to the community is something we do every single day. From our free clothes closet for our patients, our breast cancer support group, our nationally recognized celebrity senior program, or the fact that we're home to the Ryan White HIV/AIDS program. Keep ConnectCare.
Who's the hero where you work? The receptionist that can balance 12 things at once? The whiz kid that can change a toner cartridge without making a mess? The assistant that finds everything you misplace? Well, now it's your turn. All you have to do is drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard, and you could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. We'll draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and you'll be the hero of your workplace on Monday when we deliver a basket full of assorted goodies from Great Harvest Bread GNU Radio. Contest ends May 29th, 2006, employees of WGNE Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. So go ahead, be a hero. Visit the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store at 9449 Olive Boulevard, leave a business card, and that's it. Sponsored by the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Tuesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call. All will examine the controversy over the proposed changes in immigration. Our guests will be Flavia Jimenez, policy analyst with La Raza, and David Bacon, an independent reporter and photojournalist who specializes in labor issues. One of the arguments against the guest to exploit workers, but fails to give laborers a chance to earn citizenship. And with regard to allowing terrorists into the country, how many of the hijackers on September 11th came from Mexico? These and other issues for consideration Tuesday morning at 9 on The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. Don't forget that we are podcast at whiterosesociety.org and also archived there as well and streamed every hour of every day at WGNU.net. We are talking this morning with the interim editor from After Downing Street.org. Joining us from Washington, we're talking about impeachment. I started at the opening of the hour talking about the Democratic leaders in Vermont passing a motion asking Congress to immediately begin impeachment proceedings against George W. Bush. Is Vermont alone? Have other places done this as well?
Actually, there are several other places that have been a state legislature to refer to the House of Representatives for action. A demand to file impeachment. And this has actually been done in the Florida state legislature around the turn of not the last century, but the century before, in the early 1900s, referred articles of impeachment to the House, which was a judge at that time. And this is a little known and, as you can tell, very little used avenue. But when we have people in Washington, this gives the states an opportunity to push for justice.
Where is the, what's the status of this? I know this just recently happened, so where does it go from there?
As far as I know, no state legislature has yet voted on that, and a lot of the state legislatures have very short terms. Again, we are moving towards that in a lot of different states. I know California is taking action, Vermont, and some other states as well.
Well, the fact that states are taking this up and considering this and saying the word impeachment out their mouth is hugely significant.
There was nothing like this during the Clinton years.
That's a fact.
This was only coming from at first Bob Barr and then a few other extremely radical Republicans who basically just wanted to impeach Bill Clinton for being Bill Clinton.
Polls on the popularity of Bill Clinton at the time of his impeachment issues and George Bush, while he's not being impeached, it's striking, isn't it?
Exactly. Bill Clinton was much more popular than Bush is now, and the idea of impeachment is a lot more popular now than it ever was, even in the height of the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
How do we measure that? How can you say that?
Well, there's been a bunch of polls taken on that. Originally, after Downing Street and some others raised money to actually pay for the polls because the mainstream media didn't even want to do polling on impeachment. They did polling on impeachment of Clinton just about every week. And it kept coming up that it was very unpopular, very unpopular, very unpopular. We paid to have the Ipsos polling firm run a poll on if it could be determined that Bush lied about Iraq, would you support impeachment? And then we had ongoing polls after that with Zogby and some others, and it comes out to be roughly 50% or 50% plus.
Now, how much has that... in terms of... I mean, that's a startling poll. That's a startling thing that after Downing Street did anybody run... Because this was a while ago.
This has been going on for some time, and the polls all show that it's roughly 50%.
Media, do we have folks with in the moneyed large media talking about this?
Well, surprisingly enough, no. And you would think that would be a big story.
It's a huge story. It's a huge story that half of Americans are said if he lied, we should consider impeachment. That's a big deal.
Exactly. It's really shameful when you consider a lot of these cable shows especially, but a lot of the morning shows will put together a panel, and they claim that the panel includes conservatives and moderates and liberals and partisan Democrats, up as a partisan Democrat, and you never hear people saying, oh, well, as a matter of fact, most people think that if Bush lied, he should be impeached, and most people think Bush lied. So if you put those two together, most Americans think that Bush should be impeached, and even the so-called partisan Democrats that they have on these, you know, Sunday talk shows or these 24-hour...
If it's Sunday, shows, it must be conservative.
Well, exactly, and here's the thing. It's like... The pretense is that this is a balanced presentation. I don't want to say fair and balanced because that's been corrupted by a certain very unfair, very unbalanced news service. But you can tell that there's no real ardent progressive or liberal voices out there because we'd be banging on this drum constantly.
There's no one like me. There's no one in the radio business like me that is up responding to some of those the accusations. You're absolutely right.
Exactly. And every once in a while, you'll see somebody from our side on, like, the Larry King show or on some other show, and it's very heavily scripted. And also, whoever they have on as a Republican starts yelling as soon as anybody starts to make a point, and they will not stop talking. So they keep... They use rudeness to control the discourse
and personal attacks
and And, you know, the distractions and, even he realized that he had, was too corrupt and too tainted to run and win, even in his district in Texas. They decided that Cynthia McKinney, having a scuffle with a Capitol police officer, was equivalent to DeLay's almost 20-year career of corruption.
Oh, in some cases, it was worse. It was worse. I mean, it was the most astounding piece of I can't believe that you have it within you to do this, that Tom DeLay said, I'm going to bring
he called Cynthia McKinney a racist, which you'd think people in the media would have fallen off their chairs, or at least somebody would have said, how's Tom DeLay judging anybody?
These are amazing times. We have to take another break, Mike. When I come back, I'd like to talk about what began your organization, the After Downing Street, the Downing Street Memo, and the status of that. Well, this is Liz Brown, and this is the Wake Up Call. We're talking about impeachment of George W. Bush, and my guest this morning joining us from Washington, D.C. is Mike Hirsch, interim editor from AfterDowningStreet.org. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660 and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, Gloria Beach. The Mighty Christian Coalition and the Clinton Administration is losing its clout by Pat Robertson, head of the Christian Broadcasting Network, but is now in $2 million worth of debt and plagued by lawsuits from people it owes money to, chapters in several states. Just last month, its partner in Iowa broke away from the National Federation and changed its name to the Iowa Christian Alliance because it became impossible to carry a name that associates it with the national because of credibility problems. The Christian Coalition used to have a dozen lobbyists working on Capitol Hill, but now it only has one employee who works out of his own home. The coalition has suffered after its two found a political consultant for the GOP, but has lost his luster now due to ties with super lobbyist Jack Abramoff. Robertson resigned 5 years ago after he gave an interview defending the one-child policy of China. His subsequent call for the assassination of Venezuela President Hugo Chavez, and those have hurt the reputation of the Christian Coalition cause. According to the IRS, the coalition listed a debt of over $2 million out into a long and expensive battle with the IRS over its tax-exempt status because of its political causes. This is your wake-up call global news update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time. Signal is out with a new report that indicates deaths from taser weapons used by police agencies are on the rise. They're calling for an independent and rigorous inquiry into how they're being used. Instead of a weapon of last resort, it appears that it's now become a routine item to conduct daily business with. A review of taser deaths over the last 2 years indicates most of the dead were unarmed and not posing a threat at the time. More on this subject is coming up Thursday morning at 9 when Dahlia Hashad of Amnesty International joins Liz Brown on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Hey, WGNU listeners, this is Keith from 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. on radio and you.
Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 5 on AM 920 WGNU. Tuesday. I look forward to hearing from you. If you have any problems with a personal work or family relationship, give me a call at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU. For the personal issues that matter most, call me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 5, every weekday afternoon. Then, go do the right thing.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine, trends, recipes, but really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
Tuesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call, we'll examine the controversy over the proposed Chavia Jimenez, policy analyst with La Raza, and David Bacon, an independent reporter and photojournalist who specializes in labor issues. One of the arguments against the guest worker program is that it gives corporations the right to exploit workers, but fails to give laborers a chance to earn tourists into the country. How many of the hijackers on September 11th came from Mexico? These and other issues for consideration Tuesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and I am talking to Mike Hirsch, interim editor of DC. We're talking about the I word, impeachment. Mike, Downing Street memo. What do we know now that we did this?
Well, oddly enough, we haven't really learned too much more. We have just gotten more evidence that what we knew then was accurate. For example, there's this thing now called the White House memo, which proves that Bush had decided to attack Iraq on March 10th, complied whether anything happened. And that's, to a lot of people, is what it's called the smoking gun in this whole thing. Congress telling the media, telling the American people that he was going to do everything he could to avoid war. And he finally got the courage up to let Helen Thomas ask him a question again for the first time probably since the war started. And she said, why were you so eager to go to war? And he said that he wasn't. Well, this proves that he was.
Mm.
He'd already decided that he was going to go to war. He was going to risk American troops. He was going to spend billions and billions of our tax dollars. He was going to kill who knows how many Iraqis. And he'd already made his mind up.
And I think that a number of people, it seems like sometimes, Mike, that there's information fatigue, that it just seems like there's so much evidence out there that people are just like, okay, well then, we've been chopping at this tree for 3 years, how come it hasn't fallen over yet?
That's a very good question, and I think that a big part of it is that a lot of the mainstream media put down their pens and picked up pumps, and they feel on some level, and probably with justifications, which a lot of evidence shows that it was, if it was shown to be unnecessary and that Bush had decided to do this for reasons of his own, whether it's to control oil or whether it was to prove to his daddy that he was a bigger man than his daddy is, however that works out, the mainstream media feels that maybe they're complicit in this and they would just as soon brush the whole thing under the rug. But I think this is just too big. I think that the first news organization, the first channel or whatever, that steps up and says, you know, we were wrong, we screwed up, and these are the facts, and just goes...
They could make a place for themselves in history. They really could.
They would really stand out. Now, a lot of times I can't tell if I'm watching MSNBC or CNN or even Fox anymore, because they all look alike, they all sound alike.
Absolutely.
One of them differentiates itself by going back to real news and the people who really felt that their job was to report the facts and then let the chips fall when they may. They could be the dominant news organization for a generation.
Yes, they could.
And the Washington Post is still living off of its good credentials from the Watergate. And so, it doesn't make any sense to me that they would shy away from this and just go ahead and do it.
You said that there's not a whole lot that has happened since the Downing Street memo story broke, with the exception of the smoking gun, obviously. But public sentiment from the time that the Downing Street memo came to light and now, public sentiment has changed, hasn't it?
I think so. And I think what's interesting is if you look at the poll ratings and the approval of George W. Bush, he's less popular now than he was when Al Gore beat him back in 2000. And what happened is approval ratings skyrocketed, and then they drifted down and down and down. And then we declared war on Iraq. Well, we really didn't declare war. In Iraq, we just kind of perpetrated and skyrocketed again. And then they fell down, 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 down. And then we found Saddam Hussein hiding in a hole.
No, we didn't find them. Somebody else found them and brought him to us.
Exactly. And then Bush's approval ratings again went up, but they keep drifting down. It's like water finds its own level. Bush's approval ratings, and I guess if they're below 50, you should call them disapproval ratings. Mm-hmm. But his ratings find this low level. He's just not a popular guy. If he's not scaring the Americans or getting Americans all pissed off at somebody and ready to attack somebody, most people don't like him.
Mm. And in terms of what people should do, we have a couple more minutes here. What do you suggest? Midterm elections, or is there something that people need to be doing now to move towards having a discussion about impeachment?
I think that that's going to go to the After Downingstreet.org website, and they can go to another website, pdamerica.org, and just get involved. Start finding good candidates who are running in primaries as Democrats, or even if they're independents or Republicans, who are willing to confront what's going on in this country and speak the truth and not try to tiptoe around it. Get involved, start writing letters to the editor and making calls into shows like this and other shows, and just say, we need to know these answers, and just demand that. And, putting a lot of pressure on the media to do their job, because this is something like we were talking about, any member of the media that's willing to stand up and do their job in a bold and courageous way will be a hero and will be able to write their own ticket for the rest of their career.
And sleep well at night.
Exactly.
And I am proud to say that Bush is flying into the capital of Missouri, Jefferson City, to try to twist the arms of our legislators to have vouchers. So this is a shout-out to George. Thank you so much, Mike Hirsch, interim editor from AfterDowningStreet.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, and I hope to be on again sometime. I had a great time talking to you.
Thank you. Absolutely. This is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. When we come back in the next hour, we will be able to talk to our friends at Connect Care, and that's going to be from 8 to 8:30. And then at 8:30, we're going to be talking about the reason why you need to be at the police board tomorrow. Did you know? That the police department is in contempt for their failure to follow a court directive saying that they make complaints for citizens accessible at all police departments. The court ordered them to do that. They agreed to do that. They signed off to do that, and they're in contempt because they haven't done that. And now Francis Lay wants to hand over to them the responsibilities of a civilian. in review for Madness. You need to be over at the police department at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, because that's what they're going to be voting on. How can they rule and judge anybody, or to rule over or decide anything on a civilian review board when they're in contempt for the same thing? I'm Liz Brown. You don't want to miss that discussion. Stay with me.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 W. GNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. So you think it costs a lot to drive now? Well, just a warning.
These are the highest gas prices consumers have seen since Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. Last year this time, $2.28 for a gallon of regular gas at this particular gas station in West Hempstead, Long Island. Typical of what consumers are seeing across the country. A gallon of regular $2.85, and in fact a gallon of Supreme $3.05. The prices are near or as high as they seem after the hurricanes. And it's not even the summer driving season yet.
ABC's David Mueller.
We're not ready to die. Getting bad.
Those were some of the last words said by Kevin Cosgrove. He was on the 105th floor of the World Trade Center the day of the September 11th attacks. Well, yesterday, the jury in the trial of Zacharias Moussaoui and one operator. Now, the judge in the case thinks prosecution may be overdoing it. She's told the prosecution to temper the emotion just a bit. Fourth units don't match the F that was found on an exotic dancer who claims they raped her.
There have been no charges filed in this case. For the last few weeks, people have been arguing. Doing a petition, but no official charges. And the DA may or may not come out and say, these boys are cleared at any point in the next few weeks, or he could still bring charges.
ABC's John Berman in Durham, North Carolina. The fight for immigration reform just begun.
Looking down the road, organizers say they are planning on more marches and rallies, including some sort of a nationwide Hispanic walkout on May. Massive rallies, but they don't think they could get 200,000 people again. Phoenix leaders would just rather they don't, because it took a lot for this city to...
Stone in Phoenix, this is ABC News.
...of a lunar module.
We get our from Liverpool.
There are thousands marching on Washington as...
A generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services, number NASD.
I'm going to have my best lawn ever this year. Number three, every blade of grass yearns to be green. Number two, I want to be considered for the next open groundskeeper position in Major League Baseball. Oh, I know fertilizers.
Now through April 16th, save up to $4 per bag on Vigoro weed and feed products. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid in U.S. only. Availability varies by market. Void where prohibited. See store for details.
Swiss, miss? ABC's Chuck Sievertson checks out One Nation's tourism campaign.
Swiss officials are running TV ads in Switzerland, Germany, and France. They say, dear girls, why not escape to a country where men spend less time on football and more time farmhand, a sexy train conductor, fit mountain climber, dapper ferryman, and a brawny lumberjack. They end with Mr. Switzerland 2005 milking and then leaving. Leaning up against a cow, sort of like a straight Swiss village people, and implying there's a place where women can get their kicks. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Well, here's a lesson. Count your blessings, just not too quickly. A Swedish computer game executive crashed a rear sports car in Malibu, California. He walked away from the accident. Turns out the car was stolen, though. Steven Erickson was arrested, and you think that's bad enough? Well, cops found other stolen cars, guns, and what may be cocaine at his home. Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
Good morning.
morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandsmeyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, if you can't get tickets to see the Cardinals in action in their new stadium, there are a couple of other ways to get a look. The new $49 million .300 luxury apartments, which will open later this year, overlooks the new stadium. Wendy Wakefield, a spokesperson for the complex, says residents will be able to see some of the field from their apartments. Meanwhile, some downtown businesses are getting... Mark Mangini, an attorney for Greensfelder, Hemker, and Gale, says they're loving the whole field. A student is accused of trying to poison a guidance counselor at Hancock Middle School in South County. According to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the counselor went to the hospital in late March and was treated for an overdose of a prescription painkiller. Police believe a 15-year-old student slipped the painkiller into the counselor's soda can. The teen will face juvenile assault charges. President Bush will be in Missouri today. The president is set to appear at a senior living center in Jefferson City, where he will discuss the Medicare prescription drug plan. Last week, First Lady Laura Bush was in the St. Louis area to promote the Helping America's Youth initiative and attend a fundraiser for Senator Jim Talent. Finally this hour, parents are the key to keeping their kids safe during prom and graduation season. The Students Against Destructive Decisions organization reported to them are 42% more likely to engage in risky behavior.
Or frankly, do they want just bigger versions of their friends? Parents need to continue, hopefully it's a continuation, to talk with their teens about these issues, about alcohol use, about drug use, about dangerous driving. They need to continue to set expectations for behavior, and they need to continue to enforce consequences.
That's Stephen Wallace, the chairman and CEO of SAD. Statistics show that 37,000 kids in Missouri between the ages of 12 and 17 have admitted to using marijuana in the last month. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. There's a new game to play and more ways to win with four new pick-and-play games from the Illinois Lottery. See retailer for details. Have a ball. Play responsibly. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeyer for Radio Free.
Good morning. It's 7-8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Granite Works Home Show. Stewart is an accident reported westbound 48 at Wing Haven. There's an accident there. Look for a slow volume going on there. Northbound 270 from 55 to 44. Very heavy volume going on there as well. Eastbound 40 from Brentwood to Hanley. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road to 79. Look for slow volume going on there. Westbound 270 from West Florida.
Right lane as you approach those exits.
Westbound 40 from St. Louis Science Center to Hanley is slow. Westbound 70 at the depressed section all the way into Madison. Look for slow traffic due to earlier maintenance work. All lanes are now open. Southbound 170 at Brentwood and 40. Look for congestion around the on-ramps to 40. Southbound 55 at Arsenal, look for a disabled vehicle on the exit ramp. Westbound 5570 from Illinois 203 on the PSB. It is stop and go. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Cleeds Landing. Look for slight delays. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB. It is slight delays there. Westbound 64 at Bowe Avenue and the PSB. Look for slow traffic as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by
a photojournalist who specializes in labor issues. One of the arguments against the guest worker program is that it gives corporations the right to exploit workers, but fails to give laborers a chance to earn citizenship. And with regard to allowing terrorists into the country, how many of the hijack these and other issues for consideration Tuesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the brothers.
jail tonight. I will never say that progress is being made. You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it out. Well, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the...
Welcome, welcome to the wake-up call. This is a time that we're going to do this every second Tuesday to talk to our friends at ConnectCare. And the reason why I think that this is so important to have a conversation with an institution like ConnectCare is because I don't know many Americans out there that whose minds are not on their health and how they're going to address their health issues. How are they going to be able to get to their doctor? How are they going to be able to get to their medicine? How are they going to be able to take care of their kids and their kids' health issues? Healthcare is kind of a scary place right now for a lot of people. There have been a lot of changes in healthcare, and that's why we are taking this time, and we will be taking this time, the second Tuesday of every month, to talk to our friends at ConnectCare, the experts who will be able to walk us through this seemingly impenetrable maze of healthcare challenges that are out there. I have joining me this morning Gail Access Management, that's exactly, Community Service Director. Ladies, good morning. The first question I want to see if we can address is kind of like, maybe let's start it with the state of where healthcare is right now and some of the challenges. Rosetta.
And that's a deep question. You can't give a really, really do that for primary care and for specialty care. They have in St. Louis, as far as St. Louis ConnectCare is concerned. What happened last year, the 21st to the 24th of October, St. Louis ConnectCare no longer was, we became a specialty hub with an urgent care center. I don't even know if all of St. Louis is aware of that as of today as we speak, but that's a very important healthcare, the need to improve healthcare in the city of St. Louis. We have strived very hard to make sure that they will always have a way to get healthcare and say whose administration, but because of taxes and costs. shifts and changes in revenue, it became necessary that St. Louis Connect Care think out of the plan and decide what we could do at the uninsured and the primary care as we thought that they needed to have it. And so we affiliated with the federally funded clinics. And it's not all of them, but a couple of them.
And when you say affiliated, what does that, what do you mean?
That means that they took over the Connect Care. And we just started to develop more and more specialties.
Kind of like a lean, mean healthcare machine.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what we are.
Okay.
Now. And so now we concentrate on providing the best specialty care that we can and leave the primary care to do it just as well as we did, but have some other means of helping patients to get the care when we couldn't.
And because these kinds of changes, there are people, because like Rosetta, like you said, I'm sure some people out there aren't even aware of that. That's really one of the reasons why we're here, to let people know that Connect Care is still connected to you. And there are some, I think Gail, people may have, and some answers that from Connect Care about what people can still get at Connect Care, how they're still connected to Connect Care.
Well, a lot of times we've gotten questions like, you know, is Connect Care still open?
Mm-hmm.
Connect Care is still 5535 Del Mar in the old St. Louis Regional Medical Center. And some of the questions were also, can I get my prescriptions filled there? St. Louis Connect Care still has a pharmacy. It is operated every day, Monday through Friday. It's also a retail pharmacy.
What does that mean?
That means that anybody can come and get their prescriptions filled there.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that we are below cost. We're a little bit below Walgreens.
Really?
So
really?
If you need to get whatever you need to get, you can.
A little bit below Walgreens?
Nah.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're either comparable or below.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So, and that is in these. These are times that people are really watching every penny that they have,
exactly.
And that's very important
exactly.
to know. What are the hours of the pharmacy?
The pharmacy is open during clinic times,
mm-hmm.
8 to 4:30, Monday
okay.
through Friday.
Okay.
Yes.
So what are some of the other questions that people...
Clinics.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can still access our specialty clinics by referral.
Mm-hmm.
You may have insurance or community health centers. So nothing has changed as it relates to St. Louis. Was Connect Care in specialty. You can still come to the Urgent Care Center for any urgent care needs that you may have.
Mm-hmm.
You skinned your knee or you're having some stomach problems, some flu symptoms. You can still access St. Louis Connect Care.
And I guess the other piece of it is that what about the pay? How do
it's based on your income.
Mm-hmm.
On a sliding fee scale.
Because that's one of the things that you said was to be someplace for safe.
Exactly.
That there is some care.
What I find that people have problems with is getting specialty care.
Mm.
Specialty care is much, much more expensive than primary care.
Mm-hmm.
Although primary care is the basics.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have specialty care. Can supply specialty care. All we need is to ask the people to ask your doctor to refer you to St. Louis Connect Care.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's, I love this whole thing that you all are a specialty hub. That means that you're specialists out here. That means that, that people can go and get that specialized, obviously, specialized type of treatment
exactly.
right there in Connecticut, in
mm-hmm.
their neighborhood.
Exactly.
Opportunities are?
Sure, sure.
Okay.
We have urology.
Mm-hmm.
We have cardiology. We have orthopedics.
Mm-hmm.
Our physicians are associated with St. Louis University teaching institutions here in St. Louis. Just anything, neurology, your primary care provider can refer you to us.
And we have a lot of people in our community that have challenges, dialysis needs, things
right.
like that.
Dialysis is still available at St. Louis Connect Care.
Mm-hmm.
It is not run by St. Louis Connect Care, but it is still housed at St. Louis Connect Care.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So they do have the specialists
yes.
there.
Yes, and we actually do have nephrologists there. So
mm-hmm.
we do have renal. We have Hep C. Of course, we still have the Ryan White ID Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
So we still are there. We have endocrinology. We have pulmonology. We have just about every specialty there is to have.
And on a kind of an individual basis that people may have, because now Connect Care is a specialty hub.
Mm-hmm.
What about people that had their primary care records and things? Records?
Oh, they do. Depending upon which center you were at,
mm-hmm.
or you see, St. Louis Connect for specialty clinics. Your specialty record is at St. Louis Connect Care, and your primary care clinic record should be with your primary care clinic.
Mm-hmm.
I was the manager of Homer G,
okay.
and the records are still at Homer G for
okay.
the patients who...
And in terms of... people have choices out here and where they are treated, and because hub now. I need a referral because of their specialty hubs. Give us some of the whys that people can tell their doctors of why they want to come to Connect Care.
I think one of the reasons that people should say they want to come to Connect Care, especially with the area, is because we're using the specialty clinic when we were a primary care provider also. So those people know those doctors in the specialty. They have already started a relationship, and they may or may not know that they can still come
mm-hmm.
back to
mm-hmm.
St. Louis Connect Care. I don't know what we funded clinics. And because people have choices,
mm-hmm.
I do know that if a patient wanted to continue using their specialty person, whomever they were going to, they can ask that happen, and they should be allowed to do it. If a person has never used St. Louis Connect Care as a specialty place or a place to receive their specialty care, we like everybody else, like the Bournes and the Jewish and the St. Louis Jews, have good doctors.
Exactly.
We have good doctors.
Right.
And some of the same doctors who are at Bournes
right.
are also working at St. Louis Connect Care.
Exactly.
Nothing other than to be very proud of who we are and who we represent. Plus, not saying other people don't care as much about their patients.
And I've seen it. When you see people stop to say hi to little old ladies on holding their hands and walking them to where they need to be, there is this energy energy, the special energy of love and connectiveness to patients. I mean, I've seen it with my own eyes.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we're not 100%, but we work. In our quality assurance meetings and stuff, we say, what is the goal you're trying to reach? And until we can reach 100%, then it's a constant everyday struggle to make sure that we're working toward it.
But at least you're working from 98%.
Well, thank you.
At least that journey won't be long.
Thank you.
That's right.
So when let's get to the urgent care center, because that's also something that is special and unique and actually different in the healthcare industry. Tell us about that.
Well, the urgent care center treats minor illnesses. If you think
it's a different concept,
exactly,
it's an emergency.
Most definitely, if you think that you're having chest pain, do not go to the urgent care center.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got some minor illnesses, if you can't even get into your PCP, mm-hmm. that's one thing that the urgent care center has been using. Used for when you can't get in to see your doctor or you've run out of medication, you can actually visit the urgent care center and they can take care of you. Like I said, if your child falls down, you need some x-rays done, those things can be done right at St. Louis Connect Care. Any minor illnesses, great, you know, little minor burns and things like that.
You all are in the healthcare industry. I know because you're in the healthcare industry, you don't respond to health issues as are not in the healthcare industry. You know, miss is not something that, you know, a heart attack. Is there a phone call that I can make? Do you walk me through this? How does that happen?
The urgent care center, mm-hmm. if you'd like to just call.
Okay.
But, you know, we always like to err on the side of prevention. So mm-hmm. you probably would want to come in.
Okay.
We would triage you.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is something that cannot be handled at the urgent care center,
mm-hmm.
so you can always come. Mm-hmm. And if it's not as bad as you think it is, you're in the right place.
Okay.
And if it's worse, we'll get you to the right
place. Advantages over a emergency room, the advantages are?
The wait time.
There you go.
You will not have to wait very long when you come to St. Louis Connect Care to the urgent care center. And I think that's probably the biggest advantage
mm-hmm.
Over the ER if it's a minor illness.
Because if it's a minor and you go to ER, you are at the back of the line.
Exactly.
You're at the
back
for hours.
Yes.
At the back of the line for
hours.
For hours.
Or days.
So, yeah, you're right.
We didn't say that.
We didn't say that. Fair enough. I didn't say that. So, and tell us the name, because it's not just an urgent care center. It is the Smiley
Urgent Care Center.
And who is Smiley?
Dr. Smiley is an OBGYN doctor who devoted his life to taking care of the poor.
Mm.
And he died almost, he retired at about 110, I don't know how old he was, but he worked forever and ever. I probably used to see him out at Forest Park with the plaid shoes and the plaid pants, if you can have plaid shoes,
mm-hmm.
standing out there hitting balls in all his spare time. Devoted to taking care of poor women.
Mm.
He just did, and he was a delight that St. Louis Connect Care decided to pay him that honor
mm.
by naming the urgent center after him.
So when you see the buses with the big yellow
Smiley,
that's what it's talking about.
It's Dr. Smiley. He was just a fantastic guy. I bet if you just asked how many women in St. Louis had babies delivered by Dr. Smiley, a third of them would raise their hand, because he had private practice too.
Mm.
And he never forgot the person who couldn't pay.
Mm.
And that's what's so special about him.
So give us the number for ConnectCare. People can get in contact with ConnectCare. How do people, where do people call to get become part of ConnectCare's specialty hub?
361-2273.
Is that 361 Care?
Yes.
That's 361
Care.
Care. Very good. And this will be the first of continuing conversations with our friends at ConnectCare, still connected to the community. Gail Montgomery Edwards, Rosetta Keaton, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break, folks. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. At AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Midas. Trust the Midas touch. Eastbound 370 and 94, there's an accident that's been cleared. However, traffic still jams at Elm. Eastbound 7. Black slowdown northbound 55 from 270 from Gravelboy all the way into Marshall Road. Look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 40 from Brentwood to Hanley, it is slow. Westbound 270 from West Florissant all the way into 170. Look for slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 44 at 141 and 270. Look for congestion there. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Hanley. Look for slow traffic. Rock Road, you've got slow traffic there. Southbound 270 at Dorset and Olive. Look for heavy volume due to an earlier accident. Westbound 44 from 141. From 141 to Mason, it is slow as well. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street under the PSB. That traffic is starting to ease. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at about 3. At the Poplar Street Bridge, no problems to report there. Westbound to the PSB, it is return back to normal this hour. Sponsored by Midas. Trust the Midas touch. What's the most important safety feature on your car? Midas believes it's the person who just anyone. Trust your car. Trust the Midas touch. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, look forward to partly sunny skies, high in the upper cloudy skies, a 40% chance of showers, low around 60. Wednesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day, high in the mid-70s. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high near 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have Kevin. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare. Still connected to the community. Connect. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Amnesty International is out with a new report that indicates deaths from taser weapons used by police agencies are on the rise. They're calling used. Instead of a weapon of last resort, it appears that it's now become a routine item to conduct daily business with. A review of taser deaths over the last 2 years indicates most of the dead were unarmed and not posing a threat at the time. More on this subject is coming up Thursday morning at 9 when Dalia Hashad of Amnesty International joins Liz Brown on the award-winning wake-up call.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And first of all, I want to congratulate all of us for the magnificent victory on Election Day with the St. Louis Public School Board. But our work is not done. So come on down to the school 7 p.m. at Car Lane Middle School. 1004 North Jefferson. Our work is not done. The children need us. We must attend our school board meetings. I will see you on Tuesday the 18th at 7 p.m. at Car Lane, 1004 North Jefferson.
With a little time and a lot of love, the bakers at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store have transformed their signature dough into bread bunnies for Easter. That's right, a rabbit made entirely of honey whole wheat bread. It's a healthier choice for your Easter baskets. It also makes it charming. 314-991-0049. That's the Great Harvest Bread Store. 9449 Olive Boulevard. The Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store. Making people happy. One rabbit, one loaf at a time.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard.
This is Jim Curran, Current Events. Join me Tuesday evenings from 10 to 11 p.m., where we allow both sides of an issue to be heard. That's Current Events, Tuesday nights at 10 to 11, right here on WGNU.
Tuesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call, we'll examine the controversy over the proposed changes in immigration. Our guests will be Flavia Jimenez, policy analyst with La Raza, and David Bacon, an independent reporter and photojournalist who specializes in labor issues. One of the arguments against the guest worker program is that it gives corporations the right to exploit workers, but fails to give laborers a chance to earn citizenship. And with regard to allowing terrorists into the country, how many of them? These and other issues for consideration Tuesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Around the world, around the and, world behind the and story. Behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Ain't nothing like my neighborhood. And of all of the fancy satin and silk, my white cotton feels so good. Search high and low for a place where I can lay my burdens down. Ain't nothing in the whole wide world like the peace that I have found. Little things and the joy they bring.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. It's a packed Tuesday morning, so let's get to it. I have joining me in the studio studio this morning to talk about the contempt that the St. Louis public or the St. Louis. Public school, but we took care of that, so now we have to move on to our other issue here with the St. Louis Police Department. The contempt that they're in right now with a court order. Jamala, bring us up to speed on that, please.
Well, you know, one of the things that we have been investigating, and I just want to point this out because sometimes people don't understand the role of activist attorneys. I believe when it was Justin Meehan, they put a provision in to have police complaints at each substation, visible, you know, accessible, and what we found out is that this was not the case. And in fact, the order, which was supposed to be part of written either as a memo or part of the new police manual, is not there.
And I think it's important, just an option. The police department signed on to this agreement. They said, yes, we would do it. We would do it. And this is a court order that they were told to make the police department more accessible for people who want to file complaints of police.
One of the issues that the Coalition Against Police Crime has been asserting is that when you have to go into a hostile environment to file a complaint against one of the officers' own, that already sets up a dynamic that's unhealthy and intimidating. But when you go and you can't find it and somebody's saying, well, the sergeant that does that is not here, or I can't. Can't find the complaint.
People are being told. I mean, they could be told, you don't need to do that. The leave.
Right, right. And all of that has happened. I mean, we've sent people to different substations to find out what would be the response. But we also know when you come down to the main police station, you're definitely going to get a song and dance. I mean, we've had people to see their complaints thrown in the trash, or they were told that there's no pencils available. I mean, ridiculous kinds of stuff, all with the goal of discouraging somebody from filing a complaint. And if you some of the stats that we put forward at the press conference last week affirmed that, because, you know, you have in a 2-year period from 2001 to 2003, absolutely no complaints sustained.
So it got worse after they signed on the peaceful to file complaints. They said, I mean, I don't care what you make me sign, can't make me do
you
it.
Can't make me. The rate of, as with the number of complaints that were filed.
There you go.
And this is, again, one of the an environment that's inviting for folks to comply or even, you know, file a complaint. Then why bother to go?
Bump inviting, just have a piece of paper for people to run in and grab and run out and then mail it to you.
Right.
You can't even run in, grab it and run out and mail it back.
Exactly.
Because they don't have the forms there. And they agreed by virtue of a court order to do this. That's
the police department. I mean, I can think of a couple of reporters who tried to get, you know, information under the sunshine law and never got it and had to do a court order of their own to force the police department to do it. And even then, they only got some of it, and then they were made to pay for every page that they got. So this is a police department that's been resistant, you know, defiant.
Lawless,
really.
And that's what complaints are, that the police are, some police are lawless.
Yeah. And I think it does lead to the other piece that we've been asserting, and that is we need local control of the police. And, you know, maybe representative or the dean, you know, the House here can tell us, like, the position of legislators to the whole notion of local police. Because here's the thing that came about in the Civil War. Why do we still have it?
Well, and before we get to the historical piece of that, we need to tie together the fact that the significance of them being in contempt, statistically what has happened over the last three years, that no complaints have been filed, with what their desire is going to be on Wednesday, what Francis Lay is handing them. He's handing the people that are in contempt for not allowing people to have access to file complaints. Now Francis Lay wants these people to do what?
these people will be the ones that will be, you know,
in charge of the civilian,
not filing a complaint.
Exactly.
That's what it's going to be.
That's like putting the burglar in charge of the burglary investigation.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you can't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense. If you've already said, I'm not going to follow the law, and you've said it, and you've done it,
mm-hmm.
you shouldn't
mm-hmm.
be now be placed in charge of it.
Right. And you certainly can't have somebody that's an ex officio member of the police board coming up with his own review board and saying, here's the best deal, because he's actually been in complicity with these folks, these lawless people.
Who's been in the mayor's seat for those years that they haven't been compliant?
Mayor Slay.
There you go. The absence of independence, the historical reasons for that. I have in the studio with me a former dean, of course, Charles Quincy Troop, and I also have Senator Maida Coleman on the line, who's going to weigh in on this from a legislative perspective as well. So stay with us, folks. We will be back.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Washington. A report in yesterday's edition of the Washington Post says the Pentagon is engaging in a propaganda mission to alienate Iraqis against al-Qaeda leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi because he is a Jordanian. The military is using the theme that Iraqis dislike foreigners, therefore they do not like al-Zarqawi. The media campaign has been ongoing for about 2 years to make his role in the insurgency more pronounced than it probably is. The Pentagon has utilized radio and TV broadcasts, internet postings, leaflets, newspaper stories, and at least one known leak to an American journalist. Colonel Derek Harvey, who was a top military intelligence officer in Iraq and worked closely with the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said in a recent meeting that although Zarqawi and his rebels have conducted deadly bombing attacks, they are in reality a very small part of the big picture. There are indications the information campaign may be having some success, as there have been reports of other insurgents groups making attacks against those factions expressing loyalty to Zarqawi. And Dateline Sydney. The pharmaceutical industry has been accused of creating diseases so they can sell more of their medicines to cure them. That comes from a report in the Public Library in Australia. The authors of the study say a perfect example is that of sexual dysfunction. A large PR campaign is trying to tell the American public that nearly half of American women have trouble with sex, but it does not say that the problems might be due to other diseases, which means there's a pill to take care of them. Also, rare conditions such as restless leg syndrome and irritable bowel syndrome are also being depicted as diseases that a pill can fix. The report says most of the ad campaigns are paid for by drug makers who want to sell more of their products instead of actually trying to inform the public about the conditions. A pharmaceutical industry spokesperson denies it is engaging in disease mongering and says it's up to doctors to decide which course of treatment is right for their patients. This is your wake-up call Global News Update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in weekday afternoons from 2 till 5 on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's take on the day together.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And first of all, I want to congratulate all of us for the magnificent victory on Election Day with the St. Louis Public School Board. But our work is not done. So come on down to the school board meeting next Tuesday at 7 p.m. at Car Lane Middle School, 1004 North Jefferson. Our work is not done. The children need us. We must attend our school board meetings. I will see you on Tuesday the 18th at 7 p.m. at Car Lane, 1004 North Jefferson.
How do you become a hero at work? It's easy.
Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and deliver a basket of goodies on Monday to the winning workplace. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees at one prize per employer, please. The door, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
The recent hailstorm may have caused damage to your roof, but beware. When these types of events happen, people called storm chasers appear out of the blue and offer to do the work, but then disappear with your money and only half do the job. Phil Person of Phil Person Roofing reminds you he will be here to serve you long after the storm chasers have come and gone. Person Roofing is a licensed and certified contractor specializing in roof replacements and repairs, and replaces from 200 to 400 roofs a year. Phil Person Roofing, in business 16 years, 361-7127.
Hike the Hickory Ridge Trail at the Powder Valley Conservation Center in Kirkwood on Monday, April 17th from 1 to 2:30. Join our volunteer naturalist on this hike to look for birds, wildflowers, and trees. Find out more by calling 314-301-1500. News to hikers from WGNU.
Tuesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call, we'll examine the controversy over the proposed changes in immigration. Our guests will be Flavia Jimenez, policy analyst with La Raza, and David Bacon, an independent reporter and photojournalist who specializes in labor issues. One of the arguments against the guest worker program is that it gives corporations the right to exploit workers, but fails to give laborers a chance to earn citizenship. And with regard to allowing terrorists into the country, how many of the hijackers on September 11th came from Mexico? These and other issues for consideration Tuesday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with
me. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. We are talking about an action that is going to be taking place tomorrow. Jamal
Wealth and Clark, we want people to come down to the police board meeting where they will be deciding on whether or not the mayor's sham proposal goes through.
And Alderman Charles Quincy Troop, talk to us about Francis Lay and this act that he's going to try to engage in tomorrow. Is this legitimate or is it a cynical act?
I think it's beyond a cynical act. I don't think it has any standing, any weight. Just the idea that how is the police board going to be governed or by what the mayor does in his executive order or the Board of Aldermen. I think it's a forest.
So they don't have to do what he tells them to do with his executive order?
No, they don't have to do it. If they did have to do it, then why did he allow the citizens, the civilians to move out of the city? Why?
So he could take an executive order and make them move back.
Exactly. So I mean, the mayor has no standing. He has no weight. I think this is just pacifying the police officers association. That's all it is. Who threatened? The Board of Aldermen, and the mayor didn't have anybody to do an executive order when they threatened the Board of Aldermen. When the mayor is politics, it has nothing to do with giving no direction that he can enforce on the Board of Police Commission. That's why we need police department.
Have complete control, civilian control, local control of the police. Just from about 3 minutes here, give us a quick Pick 101 of the police department.
As you know, the police commissioners, meaning that the governor is the person that makes the appointments out of the city of St. Louis. This is some many, many years ago, decades ago. And at the time, it was based on the St. Louis Police Force sense for an outside source to make those appointments than. Over the past couple of years, about making those changes, given that control, it was, and the state first took over with resistance. There are those in St. Louis who do not out of the messings of.
It's people that live in the city of St. Louis want their faith determined. Elected officials want that.
I have
Explain
not only
that.
Officials say that, but the but some police officers have said that. Shocked, because there is nothing to me more degrading and embarrassing than when City of St. Louis legislators or the Senate and ask other people who don't live in that city for permission and to do something with our city. But very quickly, I will also tell you the later with the Civilian Review Board, many of the legislators now, because of term limits, are very interested in letting the city of St. Louis have that low issues. And several have said to me, try to get the Board of Police Commissioners and the Mayor's Office and the Board of Aldermen to work this out so that we don't have to make these decisions for you. So the Judiciary Committee, which I go before a Civilian Review Board, interested in all Alderman Kennedy's bill, because they feel that it is providing the information to them, this by which the city ought to be able to control this. They'd like to get out of the handling of St. Louis Police Board business, but are met with resistance from the city of St. Louis.
So, wait a minute. Resistance from the city of St. Louis? Who in the city
of St.
Louis?
Well, when I say city of St. Louis, I'll say some elected officials and some members of the Board of Police Commissioners.
Who have been appointed by the governor.
Yes. But they do. The Judiciary Committee, which I go be, thank you for Jamala, who has been here to Jefferson City to testify on behalf of this bill,
what do we do?
Well, because of that, the Judiciary Committee has not been receptive to even passing this legislation out of committee. As a matter of fact, at hearings on the civilian in the House, they did not even get hearings this year, because that's the message that the legislature will control. What the listener aldermen know, that they do support a civilian review board.
State legislators as well. You know, you have people in jails traditionally been opposed to local control of police, both black and white legislators in Jeff City, as well as Board of Aldermen members.
And that needs to be the final word. Thank you so much for joining us this morning and tomorrow morning. Around taking a break. We'll be back to talk about immigration. Stay with us.
For the issues that matter most.
Here's the latest. More to drive now, and you probably will this summer too. The government's out with its summer.
For families across America, many of them are celebrating
A couple of families that we've talked with tell us that they've had no choice but to stay closer to home this holiday, that they are in the school activities and the sports is costing them enough with this added price for gasoline.
That's ABC's David Muir. Case closed. That's what attorneys for three Duke University lacrosse players say after the...
Lawyers for the lacrosse players say the DNA test results clear their clients.
No DNA material from any young man tested was present on the body of this complaining woman.
The players want the district attorney to drop the case. But the DA told a Raleigh paper he's only in the middle of his investigation. I believe a sexual assault took me over. They will be disappointed.
The governor of New Mexico says immigration reform is the next. Big rallies were just the beginning. So,
after 150,000 marchers made their way through downtown streets here, this city is dealing with a hangover leading up to the event, so empty offices would not be surprising here today. And soon they may have to do it all again. There's talk of another march and rally in just a couple of weeks. Alex Stone, ABC News, Phoenix.
The plea is not guilty from a British man accused of killing his wife and baby this morning near Boston to enter pleas on two counts of murder and firearms charges. He's been held without bail since his arrest. This is ABC.
Pictures of a lunar module.
Washington has a generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRIZE. That's 1-800-263-7477. AMERIPRIZE Financial Services Number, NASD and SIPC.
Top three, number two. I want to be considered for the next open groundskeeper position in Major League.
The Home Depot, I know my fertilizers.
Now,
through April 16th, save up to Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid in U.S. only. Availability varies by market. Void where prohibited. See store for details.
Consumer Reports says many of us are hitting the...
Think about it. A manufacturer that's putting their name on the store doesn't want to tamper with their reputation. If they're selling shoddy goods or goods that don't meet the quality expectations of these very brand-conscious shoppers, you're not going to be in business very long.
The magazine's senior editor, Todd Marks. Well, we're on the subject of shopping.
Temporary clothing shop, Elton's Closet. Sir Elton John and his partner, David Furnish.
Sale is to get rid of all our old unwanted street clothes. Only if found a
over 10,000 articles of the couple's personal items are been worn. There are coats, sweaters, and suits, things like a fur-trimmed Versace jacket, and some DC News.
Darren Salvinger.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU. In the news this Tuesday, police are hoping that leads from witnesses will help them find a suspect in a fatal shooting. A man in his mid-20s was shot in the head yesterday and released. Authorities would like to talk to the Dryden-Aviv County team. 17-year-old Wade Michael says he left a party at Goose Creek. Creek Lake. Police want to speak with the drivers of a pickup truck that was headed east on Route Y and a dark-colored passenger car headed west on Route Y around the time of Lurch's disappearance. Anyone with information on 4340-4000 This ain't 885216371 tips. Finally this hour, members of the Survivors Network of those abused by priests want victims of Father Fred Lenzicki to come forward. In 2004, to molesting three Chicago children, but there could be other victims out there.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, there's been quite a few children that have come forward. We're afraid that there are victims here.
Lenzicki worked in St. Louis until 2002, serving at DePaul Parish in Florissant. He remains jailed in Illinois pending a hearing under the state's Sexually Violent Persons Act, which would allow authorities to hold him in a sex offender center. This WGNU News report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. For new pick-and-play games from the Illinois Lottery, see retailer for details. Have a ball. Play responsibly. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brangemeyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather at Toyota Dealers. Northbound 270 at 44 is returned back to normal. Eastbound 40 from McKnight to Hanley. You've got slow traffic there. Eastbound 44 from 141 to 270 looks good. Westbound 40 from McCausland to Hanley. You've got slow traffic there still. Southbound 170 from Brentwood on to 40. Those ramps still show a little congestion this hour. Eastbound 44 at 55 looks for road maintenance having the left lane closed. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street on the PSP. That traffic is finally easing this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at LaCleet Landing looks good. Cole at Commercial, there's an accident involving a tractor trailer, so use caution as you roll up to those areas. Eastbound 70 at Mid Rivers and Cave Springs, look for bridge maintenance operations having the two lanes closed. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, tires are an important part from your St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer and receive. Three complimentary oil changes. Toyota, moving you forward. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for day four. Partly sunny. Skies, a high in the upper 70s. This evening, look forward to mostly cloudy skies, a 40% chance of showers with a low around 60. Right day with a high in the mid-70s. And on Wednesday evening, partly cloudy, a low in the upper 50s, and Thursday, partly cloudy skies, a high of 920 WGNU and 57 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 57 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news traffic, or your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. Thank you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing some brothers. I'm hearing revolution in the air. Some brothers.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. On with power.
Some very sad news for all of you all over the world.
If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
revolution begins.
The hot truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it.
The common enemies of man.
Yet many are denied equal
treatment. So we say black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. World Wide Web at WGNU.net. Also, the show is archived daily at WhiteRoseSociety.org. So if you missed an hour, go get your hour. There are all kinds of issues that are percolating and impacting upon us. It seems like this many issues that is right here in front of us is this issue. As a person of African descent, it is a fascinating thing to watch. I wasn't a child of the 60s. I wasn't there during all of the actions and events. So it's fascinating. To be here and to unfold and to watch kind of in a Katrina-esque way, to watch America be revealed. What does America really think? How does America think that people should really be treated? Who it is in Orleans, the Ninth Ward, and the Gulf Coast. We saw our government's response to the cries of despair, the loss, and the need for help. It's fascinating. It revealed a war. I believe that this immigration issue is doing the same thing. We need to talk about this immigration issue. Because something very powerful is afoot. And to facilitate that conversation, I have joining me from Washington, D.C., an immigration policy analyst, Flaviva Jimenez. Good morning, Flaviva. Good morning. Good morning. And we also have joining us from Oakland, California, independent reporter and a photojournalist, David Bacon. David, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. And Flaviva, good morning.
Hi. Good morning. It's Flavia.
Flavia. I apologize for that.
No problem.
Flavia, I'd like to start with you. Everyone at the list. Distinction being made between and tell us who are we talking about when we are discussing an immigrant from the perspective of this immigration bill that is going down in Congress.
Right. Well, it's really an issue of linguistics. Some semantics, and I think it's an important one to note that it's not correct in the English language to our mass media is too quick to say that they are illegal immigrants by nature of their by their immigration status, but they are not illegals. It's just simply not correct. We're talking about is folks that. Inability to obtain a visa to come over legally have overstayed a visa. So as a tourist and have with perhaps no intention to stay and did in fact then find that they wanted to stay in the United States or, you know, that did in fact have an intention to stay and had an ability to obtain a job but could find no legal channels of coming over to the United States. And that's really what the problem is right now is the lack of visas and the outdated system that we have, and that is why we see so many, such a broad coalition and really millions of people in the United States right now calling for immigration reform.
And when we use those words, though, that when I've had callers call me and, as the kids say, tripping on the word illegal, that was the only thing that came out of their mouth is they're illegal. So it serves a purpose from a political people as illegal.
Yeah, I think it does, and unfortunately people have turned it into a rather simplistic issue of just calling someone an illegal and saying, well, which part of illegal did you not understand?
Right.
There are many, you know, sort of the way we like to describe it is, you know, there are many laws that are passed in this necessarily we all know are not the correct ones. We know are not ones are not good laws. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we abide by every single law. We do, of course, want to bring back the rule of law in this debate, and we want people to come over legally. We want people to abide by the law once they're here. We all want that, or that we know are just so outdated, and we sometimes knowingly or unknowingly break them all the time. Outdated law, and it's such a broken system that, you know, trying to do good, but just unable to find visas to come over. There are so many, you know, quote.
David, it feels rather cynical to me for people howling about the illegality of this, given what's going on with our good government right now. It feels a little fraudulent.
Well, I think what's going on is that people are being demonized and this word illegal is being used to do it. What we're talking about are working people. You know, these are working people who were forced out of their homes in Mexico and in other countries, primarily by economic conditions that are in part the result of free trade and agreements like NAFTA. And who, in order to be able to support their families, have to go and find work somewhere, and a lot of them are coming to the United States. So, you know, people in saying, essentially, that those people who are here should be given real legal status, in other words, made legal residents, a green card, not some kind of second class, but to give people a green card that would allow them to exercise a way of coming here legally as free people. And what the problem is that Congress is so disconnected from the demand that's being made in the streets, so that on the one hand, we have this horrible proposal in Congress that was passed last December in the House of Representatives that would turn 12 million people into federal felons.
And let's
and the other hand, just one thing, and the other hand, in the Senate, what we have is a bill that almost got passed last week that is basically written by big corporations to turn the flow of migrants across our borders into simply a source of temporary contract workers for large corporations.
And,
so
and
neither one of these alternatives really means equality.
And I want to fully discuss both of those, but I'd like to back up a little bit and start with what talk about this from a movement perspective first, and then I'd like to move to the actual horrific language and horrific ideas behind the legislation that has been passed. Flavia, let's talk about this from a movement perspective. As I said in my opening, you cannot help but compare this to the civil rights movements, that though it appears as if there is no one single leader in charge of it. Is that significant? And is
so,
it so?
And it's in the terms of the movement. There is really not one leader that people are just, taken to the streets and understanding that they do have that potential and that right to exercise First Amendment, which in many of our countries, of course, many of the Middle Eastern countries that folks may be here under different statuses, but those rights aren't necessarily always peacefully adhered to, and so it's really interesting that people are organizing themselves in the gold debate somewhat.
The first 500,000, I think, definitely shifted the debate. When they saw 500,000 people in one place and then all over the country.
And it is significant, I think, that there haven't been marches like this since the civil rights movement. And since you've mentioned it, I think that being from working at a civil rights organization, it's extremely important for us to learn from the African American movement in this country and understand that we really do have on our hands issues of inequality. We have issues of human dignity. We have issues of being recognized by society as someone who can, work and be productive and contribute. And learn those lessons and thank, I think, our civil rights leaders today from the 60s and join hands really and try and make the table bigger at this point.
And David, talking about this movement, do you think that I don't know if this is a planned component of the movement of people coming out is a revelation to a lot of Americans of just how many people are in our country that are here to work. It seems as if that this particular population, the immigrant population, has been out of sight, out of mind.
Well, I think that, in the newspapers these days, it's being called the sleeping giant awakening, but I think actually that immigrant for quite a while. If you look at the big organizing and union drives that are going on in industries like the hotel industry or meatpacking or among janitors, you can see that immigrant workers are some of the most active people in fighting to organize unions, in trying to get wages to increase, in protecting people's civil rights. And I think that also immigrants are part of a larger political process that is also moving, especially big cities, in a progressive direction. You look at the election of Antonio Villaraigosa as the mayor of Los Angeles, and you can see that immigrants and African Americans, especially in Los Angeles, were able to find common ground and come together in a political coalition that put into office, I think one of the most progressive mayors that we're going to have in Los Angeles in modern history here. So I think that...
But it is, to many Americans, still very surprising.
You mean the sheer numbers?
The sheer numbers of people is right. Shocking to a lot of Americans because it's been in...
Well, I think that's true. You know, the numbers are... really, you know, a lot bigger than I think people have been thinking about. And people on the labor of immigrant workers now, not just agriculture, but construction and meatpacking are very dependent. Tourism are very dependent on immigrant people. Immigrants are part of our communities here. You know, that people go to school with the children of immigrants, that when you go to church, there are immigrants all around you. When you are out in the street shopping at a mall, you look around you, and many of the people around you are people who were born of our culture. But, you know, in a way, this has been part of our history for a long time, and it's kind of, on the one hand, we're realized. So this is kind of a rejection of this idea that somehow, you know, this is some new foreign threat or that people...
And I know that you leave at the bottom of the hour, so I want to get back to the issue that you brought up to have you to hear your view on it. You talked about the legislation being introduced as either a super advantage to corporations to have cheap labor or the punitive criminal component, guest worker status type of thing. Talk to us about the criminal component of it because it's really breathtaking. What came out of the House?
Well, that bill would not only build a 700-mile long wall in the border between the U.S. and Mexico, and after all, we're supposed to be two countries that are friends with each other, but it would also say that those people who are here without immigration documents are going to have to go into the court system, that they're going to become federal felons.
The criminal court system.
Children. You know, you're talking about people who just simply came here in order to work. But then you also have the Senate bill, which, if it were to go into law, what was on the floor of the Senate when they adjourned last week, first of all, 1 million people would be deported right away. Those people who have been here for longer would have to become part of a temporary to open up recruitment offices in other countries and bring people here under kind of a second-class status that would make them very vulnerable to exploitation. Mm. But one thing I do want to say is that there is a discussion, and that is a proposal by Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee from Houston that is very different. And it would protect the rights of immigrants instead of punishing them. It would say that people who have been here for longer than 5 years could become permanent residents or get a green card, which essentially would make people the equal of those people in the community around them. And it would also look for common ground, especially between African Americans and immigrants, by saying that this would be used to set up job training and job employment. So what she's doing is she's trying to get at this whole question of job competition and say, look, instead of competing against each other as guest worker proposals would do, we can find common ground. And the way we do that is we defeat equal status, and secondly, we work towards a full full employment economy. In other words, we try and fight for jobs because really jobs is what it's all about. We all need to work, whether we're African American or white or Asian American or immigrants or people who were born here, we all need to work. And so if we fight for a full employment economy and and jobs programs, then is kind of removed. So that's, I think, what she's trying to get at here.
And don't we also have, I mean, it's not like we don't have a place to look to see whether the guest workers status, practice, or program has worked. This is something that Europe has tried, and it's not working well for them, is it?
And it didn't work in our history either. You know, we had a huge Bracero program from 1942 to 1964, and the people who fought to abolish that were people like Cesar Chavez, who said that it was really not possible for the United Farm Workers Union to get organized, and for farm workers to successfully organize to control worker Bracero type programs. So they ended Public Law 78 in 1964, and the Great Grape Strike, in which the United Farm Workers Union was born, started the year after, in 1965.
Yes, I want to thank you very much, David Bacon, independent reporter and photojournalist. Thank you for calling us from Oakland, California.
It was my pleasure to be with you.
Listen, folks, we're going to take a get to me. We have so much to talk about. We'll be back to take some of your questions and calls. We still have with us Flavia Jimenez, immigration policy analyst, joining us from Washington, D.C. Stay with us.
It ain't easy growing up in what I want to.
Register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660 and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And first of all, I want to congratulate all of us for the magnificent victory on Election Day with the St. Louis Public School Board. But our work is not done, so come on down to the school board meeting next Tuesday at 7 p.m. at Carr Lane Middle School, 1004 North Jefferson. Our workers attend our school board meetings. I will see you on Tuesday the 18th at 7 p.m. at Carr Lane, 1004 North Jefferson.
Calls at this time, please. Thank you.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 31. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
Connect Care. Still connect our commitments seriously. Our connection to the community is not just providing superior specialty care. Our connection is not just providing world-class urgent care at our Smiley Urgent Care Center. Keeping our connection to the community is something we do every single day. From our free clothes closet for our patients, our breast cancer support group, our nationally recognized celebrity senior program, or the fact that we're home to the Ryan White HIV/AIDS program. Keeping connected to the community matters to Connect Care.
Hi, this is Lethea Owens with a Motivational Moment. I'd like to encourage you to find out who you are and be it on purpose without apology. I believe that there is great power and influence when we know who we are, when we understand the gifts and talents that we impact on the world around us. So please join me on Mondays from 1 to 2 for Motivational Mondays, where your dreams become reality on AM 9.
Amnesty International is out with a new report that indicates deaths from taser weapons used by police agencies are on the rise. They're calling for an independent and rigorous inquiry into how they're being used. Instead of a weapon of last resort, it appears that it's now become a routine item to conduct daily business with. Most of the dead were unarmed and not posing a threat at the time. More on this subject is coming up Thursday morning at 9 when Dahlia Hashad of Amnesty International joins Liz Brown on the award-winning Wake-Up Call.
Provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Another chance, another walk, another I'd play a song that would melt love to dance with my
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. Our discussion this hour is the issue of immigration. We have hundreds of thousands of immigrants taking to the street to demand the same thing that all Americans demand. And we have a Congress that is trying to or about the business of coming up with legislation to address this issue. Our guest this morning is Flavia Jimenez. Flavia, welcome back. And I want to get to some of our calls, if you don't mind.
That's fine. Thank you.
Alfred, you have a question for our guest.
Don't make no difference. What name you put on the people here from other countries. The bottom line, they don't have the right papers to be here. They shouldn't be here. And David, and I don't understand this lady, it was talking about this trade agreement that those people in other countries lost their job, so they come into the United States. For the her been here any length of time, every day our jobs are leaving here, going overseas. Our skilled jobs are leaving here. The other day, doctor.
Okay, and I got your point. We're going to address that. Flavia, let's talk about that. The first observation of Alfred's was, bottom line is that they don't have a right to be here.
Right. Well, and I think that we can all agree, as I mentioned earlier, that we do want to bring back the rule of law to this debate, and we do want people to come over legally, and that's exactly why National Council of La Raza and hundreds of other organizations all around the country are pushing for a real reform, a comprehensive reform of the law. What we're talking about is a system that is very hard.
But also, don't we have to say, okay, people are here. The fact of the matter is that millions of working people are here. So what do we do?
Exactly. And it's that's the right question to ask. So, fine, people don't have the right to be here, or people say, okay, well, that's a problem. You're signaling to a problem. So let's work on a solution. So the solution would be what? And I think that's really what the solution. The solution really is a program that so that the people that are here can earn their way to legal status. Amnesty, it's earning your way. You have to pay a final check. You have to make sure that you pay back taxes if you've been working. Prove that you're senator from senator. You know. Hell, if you know half my family wouldn't qualify for rigorous laws and pretty rigorous rules that were
and
to people. Okay, if you're here, you gotta prove all these things.
And they're doing something that others
stay legal.
And they're doing something that other people who have immigrated here under the same condition.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And admit that they can stay and some of them will not. And for those people that cannot prove that they are those people that are not able to fulfill their requirements, you know, they will simply have to return to their home countries and try legal. And I just want to clarify, there's a big difference between a guest worker program that does not lead to permanent status and does not lead to eventually citizenship is not something that we would allow a person to come over here legally, work for a number of years, and then eventually, if they wish, apply for the legal permanent status or their green cards. That is something that National Council of the Raza does endorse, because we have to address this issue of people come. That is something we're going to have to readdress this problem, because people are going to continuously try to come into the United States.
And I think what Alfred didn't understand, Flavia, is the whole impact of a we signed that it was our idea and we put in place. NAFTA is a reason why some people are coming across the border for jobs here, right? That's inescapable.
Right, yes, and complicate things when you're talking about free trade agreements and sort of what that does to the home country and sort of the poverty that it might create in the home country. And so that's why many people do choose to move over, because simply they can't make a living.
And that's something that we as a nation have contributed to. So if we're going to start taking a look at everything that is happening, we need to take a look at everything that is happening.
Right, and I think that it's fine for people to be frustrated. I think we understand the frustration that people are under. We understand why people are saying, but this can't be, we've got to change it. That's right, we do have to change it. And my suggestion is that people in the state, you know, their states, call their senators, call their congressmen and say, we need real comprehensive immigration reform that not only legalizes people who are here undocumented, but allows for people to come in legally. In the future, and protects all workers' rights. That's what we all want. We all want strong labor protections in all of these.
And let's talk about strong labor protections for one minute. The caller, Alfred, also raised the concern about this is the reason why our jobs are leaving. This is the reason why our jobs are going to India. Is immigration the reason why jobs are going to India, or is it the way people are paid?
No, certainly not. I think that it's a problem that we have overall, because not just because of immigration, but because of the nature of the corporate system in this country, and the fact that the reason the jobs are leaving the country is that there are certain sectors and certain industries that find cheaper labor abroad. But that doesn't mean that that's an immigration system's fault. I think it's just, you know, corporations look to cut costs. They've found that they can cut costs. So this is more of a layer is that immigration overall helps the U.S. economy by creating jobs. Now, there are certain circumstances in which there are areas of the United States, certain cities which do have high unemployment, and in those areas we do have to pay particular lessons learned there, and we do have to work on you know. But, you know, in certain areas of the United States and in certain industries, you know, immigrants do contribute greatly. They do pay taxes for the most part. There's a earned suspense fund in our Social Security Administration, which exists if it weren't for the payment of taxes by undocumented immigrants.
Because the money comes right out of their check.
It comes right out of their checks, and oftentimes leave the United States and go back to their countries.
They never get it.
They never get it back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's money that they're paying and that they're never going to see again. So,
but let's talk. Can we talk real quickly here, Flavia, about the loss of jobs versus the depression of wages? Okay, I understand that immigration is not the reason for loss of jobs, but there is an issue of the depression. People's concern about, well, if employers are allowed, therefore my wages are going to be low. So that's the fault of immigration of immigrants.
Right. Right now, we are looking, of course, again to cut their losses and gain profits that will pay again. Right. So what we're looking towards here is creating a system in which the undocumented worker who might be working for $6 an hour or $5 an hour, to give that person legal status puts them in equal footing with their colleague with a person next to them who might be doing the exact same job and sort of and maybe wanting more wages. What we're doing is what we're talking. Once you give that person legal status, it makes them less exploitable.
If
you unionize with their workers, they're right
to ship me out of this country. I'm
right
here just like somebody else, and you can't pay me this, and I don't have to. And I don't have to take this salary from
you. And the same thing goes for people who. Who are here that might be on temporary visas, but who do have the right to go to other jobs and who do have the right to eventually ask for their legal permanent status because they're not afraid if they lose their job. That's okay. They can always
get another one.
Get another job. Mm-hmm. It's called portability in the immigration system. It's called portability. It's okay. If I've come over and one employer is hiring me, always having portability is very important for that worker because that worker can go look for another job. Again, will be in equal footing with their brothers and sisters, and they can organize, they can ask for better wages, better benefits.
And I guess before we go to our break here, in order to see which one we should want, which one is big business support and which one is big business opposed? To.
Well, you know, this is one of those things that big business and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is, you know, says that what they really want is they want people legalized here. And the reason that they're saying that is because it's not so much for humanitarian reasons. It's a tenuous issue and very problematic issue. The right wing and starts rounding people up and deporting people for human rights issues, it's going to be bad
for business.
Because for simply rounded up and deported.
And
so,
we have to take a break. So hold that thought, please. Flood with La Rosa. La Rosa?
Yes.
Okay, joining us from Washington, D.C., I am Liz. We'll get back to some of your questions and concerns after this break. Please stay with us.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. Registered. Call now. A top executive with Walmart testified yesterday before federal bank regulators in Washington. The world's largest retailer is seeking permission to get into the banking business. Jane Thompson said it would be grossly unfair to treat her company differently from in banking activities, including Target and Harley-Davidson. Thompson told FDIC regulators that Walmart knows every store, but now wants to create its own financial institution to help reduce its costs to process credit card and check transactions, as well as to offer high-yield certificates of deposit. She said Walmart would not open branches of that bank, but would seek to partner with existing banks by renting them space within some of their stores, so customers would have yet another reason to come to Walmart. The retailer has to get permission from the FDIC in order to gain approval from regulators in Utah to open a special state chartered bank, which is described as an industrial loan corporation. Federal laws do not permit non-financial companies like Walmart from owning banks, but there are a few states like Utah and Nevada that do allow for state chartered operations. The Federal Reserve Board and some members of Congress do not look upon such state charterings very favorably because there's the potential for conflict of interest in determining how credit is granted. Plus, there's the risk of failures that would wind up having the FDIC bailing them out at taxpayer expense. Most feedback from banks and other retail operations is against Walmart because of fear it'll wind up dominating financial services, just like it has done with the toy and grocery business. This is your wake-up call global news update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
I am Laurie Fulkerson. Join me every Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people who are just like you that are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in lives of others. And you're invited to enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show Wednesday mornings at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. Where we discuss what matters most to you.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. And first of all, I want to congratulate all of us for the magnificent victory on Election Day with the St. Louis Public School Board. But our work is not done. So come on down to the school board meeting next Tuesday at 7 p.m. at Carr Lane Middle School, 1004 North Jefferson. Our work is not done. The children need us. We must attend our school board meetings. I will see you on Tuesday the 18th at 7 p.m. at Carr Lane, 1004 North Jefferson.
Tammy Pilsen just saved a child's life. Mark Heidegger just stopped pain and suffering. Larry Norris just...
One always picks the easy fight.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Our discussion this morning is immigration. Our guest is immigration policy analyst with La Rosa, joining us from Washington, D.C., Flavia Jimenez. And let's get straight to some of our questions and comments. Charles, you have a question for our guest.
Yes, ma'am. My question is and they can't speak a word of English. They want everything in their own language. And they don't want to learn to speak English at all. And to me, if you don't want to speak English...
Your question or your observation. And Flavia, some Americans have... Hello, Flavia?
Hello?
Yes, Flavia. Did you hear the comment?
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Well, in fact, at least from the information that we have here at National Council of La Raza from many, many immigrant communities, the problem is not necessarily that people don't want to learn English. The problem is that there are simply not enough classes. I know that, for example, in many community organizations all around the country, teaching English is a very, very central part of their mission, and there's simply not enough teachers, not enough classes. There are waiting lists that are many, many weeks long just for folks to learn English. So that people do see it as a benefit. It's just a lack of classes and a lack of funding for this kind of thing that keeps people from learning English. And the fact, again, the economics always comes into play. If you're working three jobs, it's hard to find the time. So once we get our immigration laws fixed and we can actually legalize people, they will find themselves with more time on their hands because maybe they won't have to work three jobs. Maybe they'll just work one or they will work two, but they will have the weekends, they will have the nights in which they can go to English classes.
And also we need to point out that at least as part of some of the legislation that's been introduced has included the requirement of learning of English.
Yes. As I mentioned earlier, one of the things that one will have to prove if you, in fact, want to become a legal permanent resident and eventually a citizen is that you do have to meet certain requirements about English English proficiency.
And has that ever been a requirement for immigration before?
Well, in the naturalization exam does require one to answer certain questions in English.
Okay, but
unless you have some sort of disability.
Okay.
But there are requirements. But this would even make it a requirement for those that want to just obtain their green card.
So that's different than it has ever been before. This is a new stricter standard.
This is a new standard, and it's much more strict, yes, than it has been before.
All right, let me get to Rick on a cell. Rick, you have a question for our guest?
Well, it was more of a comment. I believe it's all a shell game to keep poor people fighting amongst each other. You know what I mean? Now, these folks coming from Mexico, they're the hardworking folks, hardworking people. I work right alongside of a lot of them, and I see them bringing nothing but a benefit because a lot of them are doing jobs that most likely most Americans will not do. Most Americans are not going to go out and cut yards and pick fruit and vegetables and things of that nature. You know what I mean?
For that price. For that cost.
I just don't see the problem catching away from the war and really important things that's going to matter for us for the next 10, 20, 30 years to us and our kids.
Thank you, Rick, because we only have a few minutes here. There has been a lot of people that have talked about this in terms of using it as a wedge issue to separate out communities that have a whole lot in common, particularly within that community of African descent.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, there's been many instances of this as being a divide and conquer kind of thing by, you know, the right wing of the Republican Party mostly. But, I mean, also, let's be clear. It's not like the Democrats are necessarily fully knowledgeable on this or feel very comfortable talking about this issue either. So we do have to keep really have to keep pressure on our political elected officials to really talk about this issue in the right way and, you know, to move forward on this issue the best way possible.
And Flavia, do you see from your perspective a absence of the community of African descent? Are you surprised that there are not more efforts to join up with civil rights organizations and, on this issue?
Well, there is, of course, certain differences between those who are of African descent and who are recent immigrants who have chosen to come to the United States. And there are the, you know, the African Americans who, through no choice of their own, through slavery, came to the United States. And so there are very many different issues there that are driving certain folks of African descent to the table, trying to. From the Latino perspective, we are making a concerted effort to bring on board not just those recent immigrants, but also those African American leaders that have been here for, you know, generations.
Do you see a resistance? Do you see a hesitance? Do you see, again, is there an absence?
In the right direction. We're really coming to a point where we're seeing much more of an activism from the African American community, and we're really looking forward to keep working with African Americans.
Would you direct people to find more information about this and how to get involved in the immigration issue, and what would you like people to do?
Well, I think that again, the best thing possible would be for you to contact your elected officials, to join local coalitions that might be interested in you know moving this forward, to continue being involved in the marches. Call your senators. Call your representative.
And should we be pushing the Barbara Lee piece? I mean, the Sheila Jackson piece? I'm sorry.
More than one specific bill. I would push the principle of legalizing those who are undocumented, to protecting workers' rights, to reach for comprehensive immigration reform.
Very good. Flavia Jimenez, immigration policy analyst with La Rosa. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And if I could just mention our website.
Absolutely.
www.nplr.org. And then you can always find me there and contact me if you have any further
questions. Hello, Liz Brown. Wake up call. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow morning. Until then, stay strong.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Well, we'll start with the good news. You probably won't pay much more to gas up your car this summer than you are right now. The not so good, it's going to cost you a lot more than it did last summer. The summer gasoline forecast is out, and ABC's Aaron Katursky got a look at it.
No fewer cars are expected on the roads here in New York or in any other city this
summer, even as the government predicts higher gas prices. The Energy Information Administration. Says a gallon of regular unleaded